about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
But we're probably due for some good news.
Good evening. I come to you tonight with some good news.
Hey.
It's not a sentence I will be saying to you right now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
I want to go on record as saying that this is a very bad idea.
Daylight savings. No one gets a
Okay, for me, first of all, dopeness is what I like the most. Dopeness. People who want to make things as dope as possible.
Doobie doobie doo. Nobody likes you, cause you all smell like poo.
And now.
I'm sorry, haven't I been bursting in a song enough for you lately? Would you like me to click my heels together or skip like a school child?
Our feature presentation.
I feel like that last guy that said dopeness. Is what it's
that's
all
Kanye,
about.
Man.
That's
Kanye.
My,
it's all about dopeness.
That's my mantra as well.
Exactly.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It is the 26th of February.
Welcome back, Monkey. We missed you Thank yesterday. You.
Happy to be here.
Good Feeling to see great. You.
Feeling great.
Good.
Looking like a million bucks.
Never better.
A million counterfeit bucks, but a million bucks. Hey, we were going to do the phone topic a few weeks, maybe months ago, I don't know, the time all blurs, but did we ever do the one about the thing that you lost that then you found
I don't think
a significant
so.
Amount of time later? I know we talked about doing it, but
I don't think we ever did.
Last year, just briefly, I was out walking my dog, Veruca, on the beach, and my glasses that I had in my cargo shorts fell out of the little pocket. And I was so bummed out, because you guys know, Kevin, you don't know, but glasses are really expensive now. And I was so bummed out, plus the inconvenience of not having them. So I had to go out and get a burner pair at the drugstore to, you know, get me through till I could get in to Lens Crafters and get some new glasses.
I don't mean to derail the story, but why were your glasses in your cargo shorts? Is that where you keep them?
Just because, you know, that's one of the reasons you wear cargo shorts. You got pockets. You got pockets to keep right. your stuff. You know, you get your phone and you got your glasses and your money, whatever else you
I
need.
I go fanny pack, but I mean, that's me.
Wow. These are prescription glasses you're talking about.
Yes, prescription glasses, right. So lose them on the beach, so bummed out. We walked down the beach, and then by the time we turned around to come back, we had to come back on land because the tide had come in. I didn't even know at that time that I had lost my glasses, but that's why they weren't there when I went back down to the beach moments later to look for them. And I realized, oh, they're underwater at this point. Super bummed out. So I get new glasses, and 10 days later...
They turn up in Fiji.
They turn
Everybody's
up in Fiji.
Like,
the
what?
Weirdest thing. 10 days later, I'm walking, same dog, same beach.
Same dog?
There the glasses are, laying on the beach. Wet, but in perfect condition. They just, I don't know whether they'd been out to tide and then come back, or if they'd just been in the same spot, but how did somebody else not... find them or throw them away or the birds didn't pick them up or something. But there they were 10 days later. It was such a surprise to me. I mean, so lucky, right?
I imagine people came across them and went, these are Mr. Magoo glasses. Right. Why would I want them? Let me
and
put them back.
I don't
back.
Think birds are hoarding glasses.
That's true.
Maybe not. I just thought birds pick up everything that's on the ground.
Some birds
so anyway.
Can't see, I'm sure.
That's true.
I say all that to say this. This is a story out of Sweden. Her name is Lena Paulsen, and she lost her wedding ring 21 years ago. And found it this week. 21 years ago, at Christmas time, 1995, she took her ring off to do some baking in the kitchen, and it disappeared. The family searched everywhere for it, couldn't find it. Years later, they ripped up the tile in the kitchen to do some renovations, thought it might turn up then. It didn't. This week, she's gardening in Sweden, and she pulls up a carrot in her garden that has her wedding ring fastened tightly around the top of it.
Yeah!
What?
And David the Copperfield carrot, goes, ta-da!
The carrot was sprouting in the middle of the ring.
What?
I don't understand.
So the ring was in the dirt
yes.
somehow.
Yes.
And it got down low enough, and then it sort of grew with the carrot?
The carrot. That
See,
was growing,
I was thinking she's baking. She lost it in the kitchen baking. So,
right. mm-hmm. so someone right. ate it and pooped it out.
Some...
Is that what you were thinking? I don't know.
No.
I'm, okay.
But, all wow, right. that would be a great story.
Okay.
Let's go with that. Somebody pooped her ring.
The new theory is that the couple believes that the ring fell into the sink back and it was lost in the vegetable peelings that I guess they had a compost system going, you know, where you throw your scraps in. And the ring somehow ended up in the compost. Then it was used to fertilize the garden. And that's how it then ended up outside in the dirt. And then just by just a freak coincidence, the carrot grows up through the ring.
That's so unreal.
That's happy returns right there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Of course, it's 60 or 21 years later, and she's a woman, so the ring doesn't fit her anymore. But she hopes to have it resized so that she can wear it again.
Plus, she's two husbands later.
Right.
So, yes. That doesn't help.
Lose a little bit of the impact there. So.
Right.
Anyway, good story. We should still do that phone topic sometimes because it All is right. crazy the things that people find, you know, 10, 20, 50 years later. I love stories like that.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
You ruined everything and you turned our lives into a living hell.
That is true. Dr. Drew's on the program today.
Yes.
Excited about that. Tell me about Honey Boo Boo and her singing career. What's happening with that?
Well, Honey Boo Boo is in a bad place, as you know. That show has been canceled, but apparently there's still an appetite for her. And speaking of appetite, she's now 60 pounds overweight, Honey Boo Boo is, by the way.
So sad.
And she's
it's funny because I saw her turn in it right around. I saw her really,
really just like, working out, getting into it.
She apparently, Kevin, is recording an album. And there is a new song. It's called like the Honey Boo Boo Hop or the Honey Boo Boo Twist or something like that. And you can't believe how bad it is. I mean, I guess you can. It's
I
Honey
can
Boo Boo.
Believe how bad it is with that family.
So we're gonna play some of that and talk. At least June is dancing in the video. At least we got that.
Oh. Here's a little teaser.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah, time and a half.
Flying down the rapids, my heart is beating fast.
Sugar
I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
Sugar bear, right?
Yeah, Sugar bear,
yeah. Also in the program today, you had a gun pulled on you. Mm-hmm. Which I thought was a normal situation. Like, I thought everybody had had a gun pulled on them.
Wow. No.
I thought that was the deal, but
this is in the news, by the way. A guy had a gun pulled on him by his girlfriend when he refused to have sex with her.
Didn't know that was an option.
By his
girlfriend?
And
she pulled a gun. Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Wow.
So, and I know a lot of our listeners with the, lives they live, I'm sure they've been in that situation
sure.
where they've had a gun pulled on them.
We have a brand new internet roundup for you. And we're going to talk Jim Rome. We're going to talk sports with Jim Rome. Very excited about that as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
It's showtime!
Showtime!
What's going on, man?
Oh, all kinds of fun things are going on. One thing we know about Madonna, she may be older, but she's sturdy.
Oh.
She's sturdy.
Have you seen the video?
No.
You must. Man. I demand that you go online and you find yourself the video of last night's Brit Awards in London, when she's performing her new single, Living for Love. And she was climbing up a beautiful staircase up the stage, and one of her erotic male dancers was all oiled up, looking all cut and swole. Goes up and grabs her cape and rips the cape off her back as she's singing triumphantly. Sadly, the clasp of the cape did not give way around her throat. And he pulled her down the stairs.
Oh, my God.
Backwards.
On live TV.
On live TV.
Wow.
She bounced. She bounced like Bean at Acoustic Christmas.
Wow.
This was a very painful video to watch. Kevin, if it's an easy way for you to find it, I tweeted the video out last night, if that's an easy place for you to find it. But, yeah, she fell and fell hard.
I have to go to somebody else who follows you.
She went down, and it was spectacular. Watch it over and over again and laugh, laugh, laugh. Because she gets back up and starts singing again.
Now, see, I think that would have been better at the Grammys.
That would have been better at the Grammys. We could have used that.
Yeah.
At the Oscars, too.
Sure.
Let's have Madonna fall everywhere at all award shows.
I just don't find these falling off the stage videos as amusing as you
The memes have already started. The Lance Stevenson blowing. You know, the basketball player.
Right, yeah.
There's video of him blowing
her
off
down
the
stairs.
It's just amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. By the way, the Brit Awards were given out last night. Kanye West performed his new track All Day, but they eventually just muted his mic because he refused to stop using the N-word during the entire song, and Brits apparently don't go for that. Whoa.
Were they uptight?
Yeah, I know. Come on.
He also had a flamethrower on stage in his performance, which I can't imagine he got that approved.
That happened. Here's the awards, if you're interested in the Brit Awards. Ed Sheeran won for Best Male Solo Performer. Paloma Faith, Female Solo Performer. Royal Blood for Group. Sam Smith, as you can imagine, for Breakthrough Artist. Uptown Funk by Mark Ronson. Bruno Mars was their biggest single. Video, You and I by One Direction. No surprise there. Album of the Year went to Multiply, Ed Sheeran. The international male solo artist was Pharrell Williams. International female solo artist was Taylor Swift. And international group was Foo Fighters.
Huh.
It's okay. Odd for us on this side of the pond to think of Foo Fighters as an international group.
Yeah.
But they won that award, so congratulations.
So happy for Royal Blood, too. The more people that find out about that band, the better.
I agree. I don't know anything about them, but
they're awesome.
They're probably
They're awesome. We play them, Ralph, and they played Acoustic Christmas this year.
All right. There you go. I know all about those guys.
They were first. We were broadcasting. That's why Beat and I kept running. Running in, running back out. Running in, running back out.
Congratulations to Vin Diesel. He's going to be having a child. He and his longtime love, Paloma Jimenez, are expecting their third child. So congratulations. That's got to be a hell of a thing for a kid. Is that to be your, for Groot to be your dad?
Yeah.
Eat your food. Terrifying. Naya Rivera of Glee, she posted a shot of her child-to-be on her Instagram link with the note, "We're having a baby. Ryan and I feel so blessed. We can't wait to welcome the newest member of our family." Didn't they get married like 4 minutes ago? Now they're having kids?
I think so. Happen.
I think you're right.
So, yeah.
This was the guy she was dating, Big Sean, right?
Yeah.
And then they split up, and she immediately got married to this other guy that she knew apparently for a while.
Interesting.
And now they're having a kid. So they are fast-forwarding their relationship, which works for some, I guess.
It's how to make it solid, Ralph, if you have a kid.
That's true.
Keeps you together, I hear.
Right. And if there's any problems at all, that will be.
Yeah. Fixed.
The DUI du jour goes to Will Patton. Familiar with him, the actor Will Patton?
I don't know. Best known
as his role of the assistant coach of Bill Yost in Remember the Titans. He was popped in South Carolina last Tuesday. He's apparently seeking treatment. And the SpongeBob SquarePants phenomenon just won't go away. Obviously a monster TV show. Now a huge box office hit with their feature film Sponge Out of Water. Has just announced that SpongeBob is taking the act to Broadway. Kid you not. A Broadway musical based on SpongeBob SquarePants is in the works. There will be original tunes like the show's legendary theme song, Bikini Bottom Day. But there will be other songs, pop songs that we all know. Songs by Aerosmith, T.I., and Sarah Bareilles, they say, and others will be featured in the musical. So it's going to be like a jukebox musical with SpongeBob and Patrick and Squidward and the rest of your beloved characters. Anybody interested in that?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
Mm-mm. But look, if you could be, if you're in town and you're traveling, you know, you're a tourist and you got kids...
Yeah, if you got kids, I imagine they would like
perfect.
I don't think of musicals
Broadway
for
show,
kids.
Right?
I guess I just don't think Broadway and kids, but
yeah.
Well, Disney certainly made a ton of cash with Lion King and stuff like that.
I saw Lion King.
Well, I know, but kids like Lion King, don't
no
they?
No kids in the audience.
Really?
No.
Well, it's based on a kid's movie, right?
It's also a very expensive ticket for a family, too. Yeah. Think about it. Think about that.
Well.
Yeah. All right. SpongeBob the musical. All right.
I'll go.
All right.
I'm a kid.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Michael Bolton, 62 years old today. Corinne Bailey Ray. Oh,
nope.
Chip, when you get a chance.
We don't.
I remember as if it was yesterday.
Oh, she's got that right
up. As if it was yesterday when Kevin was working on the Grammys and he had to announce Corinne Bailey Ray. I wonder what that would sound like.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. Wow.
She's 36 years old today. Teresa Palmer, the actress, she's 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Got another free trip for you to New Orleans to give away on the program today. Also, tickets to the K-Rock Storm's Bear Mountain coming up the weekend after next. And Jim Rome Talks Sports. Dr. Drew Pinsky, a lot of good stuff coming up here this morning on K-Rock. You guys are probably like me, love cockroaches, right? They're awesome.
No.
No.
Okay.
Cockroaches are gross.
Why are they gross?
Disease, dirt.
They're not disease.
No, they got all kinds of disease. They do.
They're just little bugs. They're just little bugs.
Nuh-uh.
They're born and they're clean and they don't do anything to hurt you.
They're gross and I don't like them.
Well, if somebody listening right now feels the way you do, they are going to have trouble with this story on the news in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I recently mentioned here on the program my disgust for the hissing cockroach. Well, that didn't sit well with one of our viewers. This morning, I'd like you to meet Shelby Counterman. And if you are eating breakfast, you may want to look away.
All right, here's little Shelby.
It may look like your typical little girl's bedroom, but look closer. Those are roaches.
Okay, Shelby is 8, by the way, and she has thousands of cockroaches as pets.
As pets?
Huh. As pets.
Does she name them?
Purpose.
They have a collar, and they have a name?
You know what? They didn't ask about the names. That's interesting, Kevin.
Hissing cockroaches. They are the pets of 8-year-old Shelby Counterman.
This is where my Madagascar ones are from.
She's holding a globe.
And my Indian ones are from right here. And you see how our tummy's a little bigger than theirs?
Right. Shelby's a second grader who is obsessed with bugs.
Yeah, the one with the tummy that's bigger than the others is pregnant. She's getting ready to give birth to lots more cockroaches.
Oh, excellent.
So this newscaster,
thousands
by the way,
aren't enough.
Got to give this newscaster credit for being revulsed by cockroaches, yet going to this little girl's house to do the story about the cockroaches, by the way. Most people wouldn't get within a mile of that house if they felt the way she does.
And she was very upset when she recently heard how much I disliked the hissing cockroach.
Shelby heard that you mentioned that you hated hissing cockroaches.
This is her mom.
And her eyes got big, and she goes, "Mom, how could anyone hate hissing cockroaches?" And she goes, "Send a picture to her." Okay, so we did, and you know, she wants to show you that there's nothing to be afraid of.
Okay, tell me when it's in my hand.
Meow.
Her obsession started about 5 years ago when she got her first bug.
Whenever I was 3, Mr. Gibbs gave me some, but they were only boys. So I went to Safari Joe's and told them about my problem that I didn't have babies. So they gave me some more boys and girls, and then I started to breed.
And now she has hundreds.
Thousands
of cockroaches.
Hold up.
Yes, hold on.
Hold up here. Pump the brakes. She was 3?
Yes.
And started breeding them.
Yes, that's right. Because she only had boys, Kevin. You can't breed cockroaches with just boys. You got to get some girls in the mix.
But how many 3-year-olds understand that? None? Or one?
Yeah, that's good.
She shared her passion for bugs with her family, her friends, and at Vacation Bible School. Her mom says it's a little creepy, but she's gotten used to living with the critters.
A very wise friend told me a long time ago that you can't instill your own fears and prejudices into your children. And you have to let them follow what they're interested in. And this is something that she was 18 months old when she started being attracted to bugs. I couldn't say no. You know, it's hard not to let her follow her interest.
By the way, I think that's really interesting in the macro, which is you have no idea what your kids are going to be into.
But
unless it's something that's dangerous or destructive or unhealthy, why not let them? I mean,
Absolutely.
She may grow up to be a great scientist because of her love of bugs.
How does she know that she loved them at 18 months, though?
I don't know a lot about 18-month-old babies. You've had them, though, Kevin.
Yeah.
Are they ever attracted to anything? Do they point or want to touch or play with her?
Everything at that age. And you grab everything and put it in your mouth as well.
I loved ceiling fans. It just really got me into ceiling fans
I don't know,
at 18
it's
months.
Weird. Like, I don't know how an 18-month-old would let you know that she likes the cockroach.
Yeah, that's a legitimate question. I mean, I definitely appreciate the family's open-mindedness toward her hobby, because most people would in no way allow this to happen under their roof, right? In no way.
No, thousands in your house?
Thousands. I think that's too many.
I don't know. I love that she is, A, so interested in reproduction, so there's that aspect. She's learning about that.
Right.
She's
mm-hmm.
showing you a globe, so she's
right.
now learning geography. She seems a very smart little cookie.
Smart little kid. Yeah.
She's smarter than I am. How old is she in this interview? 8?
She's 8.
Smarter
yes.
than I am.
She was at 3.
She was at 3. But wait, there's more.
Are you keeping track? Because if they disappear, I don't want to take any home with me.
It's fine.
It's not fine.
Shelby keeps some of the cockroaches in these special plastic tubs where they can't get out. And there are some in these aquariums with a Vaseline barrier to keep them in. But if they should escape, they wouldn't survive long.
Okay. Anyone want to guess why there's no danger of the cockroaches escaping in little Shelby's room?
Well, she said Vaseline. I don't understand that exactly.
Because
they get stuck.
Oh, I see.
They can't climb up the top of the terrarium and get out. But why do you think there's no danger of an infestation in the home if the cockroaches do escape?
I think because they're free-range cockroaches.
All right, let's see if that's right.
But if they should escape, they wouldn't survive long. Oh. Toothless the bearded dragon keeps a watchful eye. So thank you, Miss Shelby, for introducing me to the wonderful world of these creepy crawlies.
Yeah, and she's learning Darwinism?
Apparently so. She's got one of those bearded dragons. Now, what are they? They're not chameleons, but they kind of look like it. They're big lizards, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Or something.
This girl is trouble.
Thousands of cockroaches?
Where do you see her in 10 years, Kevin?
Jail?
No.
I see her in jail.
No.
Absolutely. Here's the problem with cockroaches for me. All scary movies involve cockroaches, and they're usually coming out of people's mouths, and that's gross.
That's a good point.
And scary, and I don't like it, and they should be taken away from her and euthanized. Who's with me?
No. I'm not with you on that, but I hope our listeners enjoyed that, and I ask you, who's hungry?
Producer Dave, the King of Mexico. What's up, man?
Hey, everybody.
Who gave this son of a bitch his green card?
That's a great question, Sean Penn. That's a great question. Dave not only produces the Kevin and Bean Show, he puts together a little feature we like to call every week the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Yo, K-Rock listeners around the world, it is time for the Internet Roundup. So tell all the boys and girls, we've got funny and sexy, even music too. We've got all the greatest videos, and they're mostly on YouTube.
Go to KevinAndBean.com or KRock.com, see all the best viral videos of the week, and this is a great batch, especially if you like nature videos. This girl is, I don't know if she lives there or she's on vacation. She's in Western Australia, and she comes across a little pond out in a field, and there's a crab who's dipping in to get a little drink of water.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't last long when an octopus out of nowhere at the speed of light comes out of this water. It just grabs this crab and drags him back in underneath the water to eat him. I mean, nature is a cruel son of a bitch, isn't it? Here she is doing the play-by-play as she thinks she's just filming a crab, a nice pastoral nature video, and the unthinkable happens.
Shady! There's an octopus eating a crab! Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's insane, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, man, that was awesome. Kevin, the octopus just...
I saw it. I will be scared of octopi. How do you
octopi,
say that?
Yeah. It is actually octopuses. Yes.
I will be scared of them for the rest of my life because of this.
I didn't realize they could move so fast. All right. Power Rangers fans have got to see this. This is one of the hottest things on the internet right now. I think it's like at 10 million views in the last couple of days. There's a guy named Adi Shankar who's a legitimate filmmaker. This isn't some fan guy who's moving dolls around to make fan fiction. I mean, he's a producer in Hollywood. He's the guy who brought us Lone Survivor, that movie, A Walk Among the Tombstones. He brought us The Gray. He's a young dude, but he loves making these fan fiction movies. He's done them in the past for The Punisher and for Judge Dredd. And this one he did for the Power Rangers. Now, I wasn't a big Power Rangers fan, Dave, but you were. What is he doing that's so crazy and different with the Power Rangers he's come up with?
Well, he's taking the idea of what if they grew up, what would happen? So they're all kind of messed up. So you see a result of, you know, the Power Rangers as grown-ups.
And who's in this movie?
James Vanderbeek from Dawson's Creek and Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica.
Awesome. Yeah. This is pretty legit, man. You're going to want to see a full feature-length movie of the Power Rangers when you watch this short. Listen up.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man. Nope. Yeah, I got these guys. What? I want you to double-cross for
nope.
me.
What do you mean, nope? That's actually, that mistakenly, that's a clip from Omar's movie, Cook Among a Heat. That's not what we're looking for.
It's almost as good.
That's my bad.
When two empires declare war, neither side is innocent.
You're still a traitor, you worthless pacer.
We were children asked to fight an intergalactic war against an enemy we'd never met. Let's stop pretending our side stood on some moral high ground.
What do you want, Rocky?
So good.
Drama.
If you ever wanted to see Birdman, the Academy Award winner for Best Picture this year, and Sesame Street mixed up, then what you need is Big Birdman.
How do we get here? How do we get to Sesame Street?
Doesn't matter. You're the original. A movie star, remember? You can fly. Well, you can't really fly, but it sure feels like flying.
That's the actual actor, by the way, who plays Big Bird and has since 1969, Carol Spinney starring in that. It's so weird. Like, why would they do that? Kids wouldn't get that. They do that strictly for adults, right?
Absolutely.
How do you know the name of the guy and what year he started playing Bird?
Oh, because he's one of the most famous puppeteers in the world, Kevin. That's
okay.
why.
All right.
In the category of why did anyone ever think of this? What would happen if you took Limp Bizkit song Break Stuff and did a mashup with the Seinfeld TV theme?
It's all about the he says, she says, fool. Think you better quit, let slip, or you'll be leaving with a fat lip.
That is really funny.
It's so good, but why?
I don't know why. Drugs?
All right.
I think drugs is the answer to most of the questions that we ask.
It could be, yeah. In the why category, what if you took famous scenes from the film Mary Poppins starring Julie Andrews and instead dubbed in people singing those same songs in a death metal way?
I would watch.
Yes!
Wow. But the video is Julie Andrews,
it's
right?
Julie Andrews singing it, yeah.
Yeah, it is. What's going on? What's happening?
Good stuff. Last week on the Internet Roundup, we featured the thunder snow. This was Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel, who is so excited about seeing that weather phenomena in person. Well, you can bet that it has been songified. Dave, this is the Real Dudes. This is the Gregory Brothers, right?
Yep.
They did a nice job. Check it out.
Dude, that's number six. You gotta be kidding me. Six episodes of thunder snow. Lightning strikes. Holy small, totally lit up the sky. You can have your $500 million jackpot. Your Powerball, but I'll take this thunder stuff. Lightning strikes, holy small.
Good stuff right there.
It's a
Honest
hit.
You like it?
Is I
it
like
tight?
It. I'm going to buy it.
Honest Trailers is back, and they're great as always. You know, they can take the best movies and make them sound terrible with the Honest Trailers.
Yeah.
They can also take the worst movies and make them sound worse, like they did with this one for Dumb and Dumber 2.
The goofballs you used to love when you were 10 or 13 are back, and dumber than ever. But now they're also old, unlikable, sexist, racist, and bizarrely mean-spirited.
We love you, Harry.
Do you love him long time?
I never saw that movie. This won't surprise anybody. But just going through this Honest Trailers, I can't believe how awful that looks, Kevin.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber 2.
I didn't see it either.
I didn't,
you didn't
see it either.
I saw the original, but I didn't
Yeah, this one looked terrible.
So bad. A movie that looks great, by the way, that is getting rave reviews that's out right now, stars Jemaine Clement, who we love, of course, from Flight of the Conchords. It's called What We Do in the Shadows, and it's a vampire movie. And they put together a very funny video. Jemaine and his co-star Taika Waititi put together a great video for Funny or Die where they talk about the rules of being a vampire.
Unfortunately, there are a few lies spread about vampires, especially in television and movies, such as True Blood.
Lie Blood.
Twilight.
Lie Light.
The Lost Boys.
The Lying Boys.
Interview with a Vampire.
Not enough interviews.
And Blade.
That was actually a fun movie. Yeah. Full of lies.
Very
if you,
funny.
If you want to hear a vampire sing Evanescence, then that's the
this
video
is for you. Yeah.
Apparently vampires love Evanescence.
Yeah, they did.
That before this video. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the world of late night now. Jimmy Fallon from The Tonight Show has a bit on his show called The Wheel of Musical Impressions. This time Christina Aguilera was his guest, and she spins the wheel, and she has to sing a particular song in the style of a particular singer. So she has he has Cher doing the Purina Dog Chow jingle for some reason, and Britney Spears doing This Little Piggy. So here's Christina Aguilera doing Cher and Britney.
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
This little piggy.
Wow.
When we all the way home.
That's great,
that's
right?
That's amazing.
She's pretty good.
Really good. Yeah.
It's a hit.
I like it.
You going to buy it?
Buy it. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel has been doing something in February called Mashup Monday, where he takes two groups that have no business being on stage together and makes them do a song. And this one, I think, is brilliant. This is Warren G doing his hit from the 90s called Regulate. And, of course, Nate Dogg is no longer with us, but Kenny G is on it. So it's Warren and Kenny G together, and it's pretty, pretty awesome.
Rolling in my ride, chilling all alone.
The
Warren G.
Sing a call for the girls. They don't need to tweet. Call you hoes on the subway.
know that it made it better.
It's interesting, but you don't need that. I like it. I'm going to buy it.
I don't need that sound any time in my life.
And finally, speaking of Jimmy Kimmel, he has a regular feature called Planet Earth with Snoop Dogg. And Snoop just does play-by-play commentary on nature videos. And this is a terrible video. It's an awful video to watch.
Yeah. Do you know what video he's watching, Bean? Like, have you seen the full video?
No.
I haven't. It's basically – it's seals who
– Careful.
– force – Penguins
to have sex.
Yeah, and then they eat them. They eat them.
What? This just turned so dark.
Yeah, but that's why when I saw the video, I was like, whoa! And then you hear Snoop, it's really funny.
So it's a seal who's just got a penguin pinned down on the ground and is having his way with him, and Snoop just can't believe it.
Oh, no, cuz this a penguin, cuz. He cold-blooded. He went Bill Cosby on her, cuz. Look at him.
Was that a walrus?
He was wrong wherever he was.
By the way, I don't know how nature works, but there are like 1,000 other penguins standing around watching this thing go down. None of them are doing anything. Couldn't they attack the seal and save their little brother?
They're 1/100th of the time of the size of the seal.
Yeah, but there's 1,000 of them, Kevin. You don't think they could take that seal, all of them together?
You have that person, not me.
I don't like them. Good. I'm good. I don't like it at all. You can see all these videos and more at KRock.com or KevinDeBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin DeBean Internet Roundup.
Those videos were awesome. Now, baby, go watch the Internet Roundup. Yeah!
I thought Honey Boo Boo was gone forever.
Well, she is gone from the TLC show. They did cancel her show, but she has been making the rounds in L.A. this past week on a bunch of other shows. Including The Doctors, by the way. Are you guys aware? Allie, do you know? You sit at home and watch daytime TV. Are you a doctor's fan?
Of course I do. Yeah, sure. Yeah. I want to learn lots of weird stuff.
Never heard of that.
How my poop should be shaped.
That's the kind of stuff they talk about, by the way, on The Doctors. It's a TV show, daytime TV show, with like 4 medical doctors, and that's all they do is health issues. And they had Honey Boo Boo on this week. And, of course, her favorite food is chicken nuggets and corn dogs. Those are her two favorites. She is now, in case you haven't seen her in a while, because we think of her as that adorable little toddlers and tiaras girl, she is now 4'6" and weighs 125 pounds.
Wow.
She is obese. I mean, that's got to be 50 pounds overweight, I would imagine.
You look at her mom. I mean, her mom's always been obese, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And that's what they were talking to her about. They were talking about this is going to be nothing but bad things, health problems, and everything else for little Honey Boo Boo for the rest of her life. So that's TV appearance one. TV appearance two is she stopped by the Inside Edition this week. Like, that's still on the air. And apparently she is beginning a pop music career. Here's a little bit of that.
Yes.
Hey, y'all. It's me, Laura. Y'all making me as Honey Boo Boo.
It's Honey Boo Boo, pop star. Look out, Hollywood. The spaghetti-loving 9-year-old is recording her first song.
I'm just a small-town girl living in my princess world.
The song features a brand-new dance move, the Honey Boo Boo Bop. And she's already making plans for a second song.
It's going to be my album.
As Honey Boo Boo would say, you'd better redneckinize, there's a new singer in town.
Oh, that must kill that guy's soul to have to read that
guy
into a voice booth.
Went home and went, what am I doing with
what am I doing? The Honey Boo Boo Bop, apparently the sensation that is sweeping the nation. We wanted to find out more about this. We asked Dave, is there any chance in a million years we could talk to little Alana herself? And I believe Honey Boo Boo joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Honey Boo Boo.
You better redneckinize.
Right.
So you're serious about this? You're serious about being a singer? Okay.
Right.
You don't have to yell at us. We're just having a conversation.
You're not skinny.
No, she loves Sketty.
Oh, Sketty.
Yeah.
My bad. Sketty. Okay.
And I'm not skinny.
You're not skinny.
You're not skinny.
Yes.
Right.
You're actually quite.
Honey Boo Bop. Honey Boo Bop. Honey Boo Bop.
All right. Honey Boo Bop.
The song is called Honey Boo Bop.
I'm going to make it a whole album. I'm going to have an album song. There's going to be all the songs on my album. That's going to be one of them.
I feel Honey Boo Boo needs less sugar in her life. That's what I feel. What do you mean there's going to be more? You're recording more songs?
Yeah, I'm going to have it all out. I'm going to have a Honey Boo Boo out. I'm going to have a whole thing. It's going to be on out. Honey Boo Bop. Honey Boo Bop. Honey Boo Bop. It's going to be all the songs on my album. I like chicken nuggets.
Okay. What other ideas do you have besides the dance sensation, the Honey Boo Bop?
It goes like this.
Okay.
Nugget.
Okay, that's not really a song.
What's it called, that one?
Cheese Balls.
Okay.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
The details seem troubling and are still unfolding. But Ralph, you got to be happy anytime the Cowboys are miserable, right?
Oh yeah, I'm praying for this video to be real and to be spectacular.
We're going to talk to Jim Rome about what's going on with the Cowboys. Dez Bryant coming up at 8 o'clock this morning here on the World Famous Carrot. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
Well, the news has just broke, according to page 6 in the New York Post. Finally, those national treasures, the Kardashians, are getting what they're worth. According to page 6 in the New York Post, they have signed a record-breaking $100 million deal to remain on E! For another 4 years.
Does that show make? It must.
Well, this is keeping up with the Kardashians on all their spinoffs. Kourtney and Khloe take the Hamptons and Dash and Rash, Gash.
We always ask, like, Bridges. How much money can they possibly be making? What are they doing for money?
How has E! Come up with $100 million, by the way?
Right.
Wow.
They must have scraped, they must have looked under the sofa cushions in the lobby for change.
I'm not sure that's how that works.
It is. Okay. How do they come up with $100 million?
I'd love to know the breakdown of who gets what. How much does Kim get versus...
Well, Kris Jenner, the momager, gets $999.9 million.
Makes sense.
999.
Right.
9.
And then the others have to split the rest.
They split a dollar.
That does seem like a lot of money for a network that's still making poor Joel McHale do his show in a high school cafeteria.
Right. He does it in a closet. Bruce Jenner is not part of the deal, by the way. He is leaving the upcoming 10th season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, of course, to get his own show at E! Based on his sex transition. So that'll be a separate deal for him. But just the girls. Chris and Chloe and Courtney and Kendall and Kylie and chlamydia and kleptomania.
I don't think those last
and
two.
And canker. She's getting a piece.
Canker is?
Canker's getting a little taste.
Always hated canker.
She's my favorite.
100 million is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
You did this, America.
You did.
You brought this. You did,
America.
You brought this on yourselves, America.
Hope you're happy. What do you think Seacrest's taste is?
I don't know.
Is that him, or is he on the back end of the deal? Well, he's always on the back end of every deal, isn't he?
He's making a lot of money off of that, Ralph. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like he needs it.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some other things. Like the fact that you guys, well, I know Bean is. Kevin, you're not a big Beach Boys fan, right?
Not really. I hate them. Just don't listen to them.
Really? Pet Sounds? Yeah. Best album.
Okay.
It is a great album.
Fine.
But it is
not our great band.
What you understand, Allie, is that Kevin is he's a modern man.
Oh, got it.
He is a right here, right now kind of guy. Doesn't cotton to any sort of nostalgia.
Yeah.
Or any another or like something from another era does not sit well with my man Kevin.
I'm an LA kid, born and raised.
Right.
Beach Boys Christmas album.
That's certainly.
That's it.
The music
that's
of Southern
what you
California, right?
To. Yeah, maybe not so much in Arizona.
No, not so much.
And they were sort of defined by a generation. The 60s primarily is when the Beach Boys were important. But Brian Wilson certainly considered one of the great musical talents in pop music. And there's a new movie coming out called Love and Mercy. Paul Dano. You remember him from There Will Be Blood? He was so brilliant in that film. And also Little Miss Sunshine. I mean, great actor. He plays the young Brian Wilson in the Beach Boy days. And then John Cusack plays the older Brian Wilson version. Paul Giamatti plays Brian's controversial live-in therapist, Eugene Landy. Film opens on June the 5th. But the reason I bring it up is because they just released the trailer for it and it looks fascinating. I want to play a little clip from you because I think it sounds pretty cool. Here's the trailer to the new Brian Wilson biopic, Love and Mercy.
His music defined a generation.
I like surfing. I'm a fan of sand and it's good.
His genius made him a legend.
I like to play the triangle. It goes ding.
But where the legend stops, the story begins.
Hey, I'm really hungry. Could somebody buy me a Baskin and Robbins store?
Love and Mercy, the story of Brian Wilson.
Why is Elvis living inside that oak tree and telling me to cut my toenails?
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Brian there.
I can't wait for that movie.
It's supposed to be real good.
Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
John Cusack's got him down. Sounds just like him.
While we're talking about music, congratulations to Imagine Dragons. They have scored their first number one album. Smoke and Mirrors is number one in its debut atop the Billboard charts.
Good for them.
When's the last time we saw a K-Rock artist atop of the Billboard charts?
It's been a long time.
1982? Maybe.
Early 80s, for sure.
Time. So congratulations to Imagine Dragons. I think that's awesome. Great album, too, by the way. Have you heard Smoke and Mirrors? Great stuff on that album.
By the way, Ralph, you should also be happy that it knocked out Taylor Swift.
It sure did.
Yeah.
Not just knocked it out at first, knocked it down to fourth. Boom! Boom! Boom!
Yeah, it's over. She's done.
Nice work, Dragons.
Nice work, Dragons. She's done. You're right, Pete. She's finished. Her career's over. Drake, if you're reading this, It's Too Late, was second on the album list. 50 Shades of Grey, the soundtrack, was third. Then Taylor Swift's 1898. No, that can't be right. Nope. 1989. Dyslexia is a horrible thing, kids. Get yourself checked.
You should be proud not knowing that title.
I am proud. Ed Sheeran's X was fifth. Sam Smith and The Lonely Hour. Maroon 5's V. Meghan Trainor's Title. Nicki Minaj's The Pink Print. Is the name of her album?
Yes, it is.
The Pink Print.
That's correct, yes. Print. Okay. That's her play on Blueprint.
Oh.
Jay-Z had Blueprint. She has Pink Print.
See what she did there? And Hozier's self-named album, number 10. Let's take a look at the top. Nope. Let's take a look at the celebrity birthdays. I'm a mess today. You know what it is? I'm sober. I'm used to working sober. Today's celebrity birthdays.
You need to correct that.
All these stars were born on today, February the 26th. Michael Bolton is 62 years old today. Corinne Bailey-Ray is 36 years old. Nate Roos. Singer for Fun. He is 33 years old. And Teresa Palmer celebrates her 29th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, there's 6.7 K-Rock. This is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:06.
That's just loud for this time of day, by the way.
That is loud, yeah.
Just loud. It's just inappropriate. Hey, about 40% of the internet right now is open letters to Kevin and Bean. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not, but it sounds like we may have some communication problems with our listeners, and I think maybe this might be a good time to try to address that a little bit, do you think?
I think a conversation needs to be had.
Conversation needs to be had, because the fact of the matter is we do care very deeply what our listeners think.
And we hear you. We certainly hear you.
And we do hear you. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about some certain things. Kevin, I know you had an angle on this that might be kind of a good entry point into the conversation.
Well, I've been emailing back and forth with her, and I just wanted to start.
Lisa May, you should say. We're
Lisa
talking
May,
about.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I just want to start with Rock and Fig did the Surf Report on this show for, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we realized, you know what? Everybody's pretty much going to the internet for that. So it's nothing that Rock and Fig did wrong, but we cut the feature because people don't come to us for the Surf Report.
Right.
So we've been thinking for a long time, that people don't really come to us for news. I mean, really, that's Twitter and another 1,000 websites. Mm-hmm.
The internet.
Yeah. Yes.
And news radio exists, too, if you want to go there.
And people really don't come to us for traffic. And we've had that opinion for maybe 2 years. And we've talked about it many times. Hey, people aren't really coming to us for traffic. So what about that? Well, the problem is that 24 years ago, Lisa May started on our show as a traffic reporter. And we asked her to come into the studio, but she's always been a traffic reporter. So that was the deal, and she made a great career out of it because she's likable, and we loved her, and you loved her. But eventually, we had to make a decision, which is people are not coming to us for news, and people are not coming to us for traffic. They'll go to the AM station, they've got Waze, whatever the apps are. So Bean and I had many conversations. I'm just going to tell you the way that we wanted it to go. And then the way it went, the way we wanted it to go, we had many conversations with our bosses about this because we love Lisa. So we said, certainly heads up off the air, heads up. This is coming down the road, and just know that that's the deal. We're going to announce it on the air. We're going to give her time to say goodbye. We're going to try our best to get her. We were relatively convinced that we had a backup job to offer in case she wanted it. And then she would have time and the ability to say goodbye to her fans because everybody loves her.
That's the one thing. Let me just jump in and say, I think there can't be more than 50% that tolerate me, 50% that tolerate Kevin. I think Ralph said about 35% lately, people like him. Lisa was 100%. There was nobody who didn't like Lisa.
Including that, us, by the way.
Including us, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that needs to be really reinforced, is that we love her as much as any listener ever could.
All right, so that's how we thought it might go down. What ended
and
up happening?
And we wanted that to happen, and even that, even if that happened that way, it was a super difficult decision to come to. But this isn't just a business. It's pretty big business, and we need to figure out how to grow and get better and go in different directions and evolve. So we made the decision. I don't even think Ralph was in the room at the time when Bean and I and our boss made the decision. All right, look, we all love the hell out of her, and we still will. But let's try to evolve the show and move on to what's next. And let's get rid of the features that we really don't believe people are coming to us for. So we did that. And then, what was it, last week?
Mm-hmm.
We get called into the boss's office, and he says these words. It's happening tomorrow. Which was a shock. Because, remember, heads up off the air, and then announce to the listeners, and then say goodbye, and then maybe a backup job.
Right. It's happening tomorrow, and she's already been pulled from tomorrow. Because remember, she doesn't work for us.
She's not an employee of K-Rock. She's a traffic employee. So then, not only is it happening tomorrow, but they're going to tell her. And then we said, well, that's none. We didn't want any of this to happen this way. Doesn't matter. We don't work for the traffic company, and we don't have any say. I said, we have the sort of relationship where we would give her a heads up. You know, if something bad is coming, can't do it.
Can't be in the room when it happens.
They told us that it was, and maybe we were naive for believing this, but they told us that it would be illegal to contact her.
I don't get that either.
We didn't get it at all. But so then the very next day, she came in and they told her. And then we met with her afterwards. And I've since, you know, emailed her, and we've all sort of expressed to her that we wouldn't be here without her. She's an integral part of our lives, of this show. And she was treated wrongly. Wrong or wrongly? She was treated poorly. And maybe it was arrogant for us to think that we were in control of that process. I think the thing came when we realized that she's not an employee of ours, so we don't have any say in how things work.
And regardless, when someone is let go, in this industry particularly, they don't like parting shots. They don't like to give you the microphone. It usually just kind of happens, and then it's talked about after the fact, which is difficult for everyone,
yeah,
especially the listeners.
Yeah, well, yes. And so we had many conversations, and what we didn't realize is that lawyers would take over and HR would take over. And people afraid of getting sued would take over. And it doesn't matter who that person was, or if it was one of us. It doesn't matter. It's a big business. It gets taken care of by lawyers. And that's the end of the story.
But having said that, though, I think just to be devil's advocate on the on behalf of the listeners who are screaming at their radios right now, okay, so she doesn't do traffic anymore. Why isn't she still in the room with you guys to be another personality like Ali is today?
Right.
Because we all, first Bean and I and our program director, probably for 3 or 4 meetings had this conversation. Oh. But we love her, but it's a big business and we need to figure out a way to grow and go in different directions. And, you know, maybe it's time, but we love her, but we should do this. So we saw Ali as a way to challenge ourselves to be better in different directions. We haven't had a sports guy for a long time. Ali's into sports. So it wasn't really like, let's compare the two. It was just like, we need to freshen things up. We need to stay relevant, and we need to make whatever decisions need to be made for that to happen, as difficult as they are on us.
And I know, and I mentioned it, we're probably going to have to take a break and come back and do some more of this in a minute, but I know I mentioned that there's a lot of misconceptions out there online right now, and I know, Ralph, you've got a lot to say about that.
Yes.
But one of the ones that I want to address here, though, speaking of Ali, is that there seems to be this impression that this is a classic Hollywood story of once a woman gets to be a certain age, you throw her over for somebody who's younger and hotter and shinier. I've spent, no offense to Ali, who's lovely, I've spent so much time this week trying to convince people that she is not that young and not that hot. It wasn't one of those situations where that's what we were trying to do. It's nothing like that at all. She's a beloved personality in the Southern California market who's been on radio and television for 20 years in this town, who's a very bright and very smart person who does deserve an opportunity and deserves a chance. And we're really excited to have her here, and we think it's going to be great. But chemistry isn't – I mean, we're having a great time with Ali right now. Chemistry isn't instant, and I fully understand why listeners – it is jarring for listeners who have listened to a program for as long as many of ours have, and thank you for that. All of a sudden, things sound a little different. But people who are making a judgment on 2 days or 3 days or 4 days, whatever it's been right now, and have determined that it sucks, I can't get my head around that. I don't understand. I don't understand that mentality at all.
I'll tell you why I can. Because
yes, please do.
It was poorly done.
So there's resentment going in.
Yes,
against whatever's
it was
next.
Poorly done with Lisa, which hurts more than anything. Mm-hmm. It was also poorly done with the listeners because our hands were tied. We couldn't legally say anything to this person or that person. We couldn't bring her back. We couldn't say goodbye. We didn't have time. None of that was in our power. And right. So for the listeners, it was the exact same way, which was, wait, what?
And I think we were also a little shell-shocked when suddenly we were on the air and Lisa was gone and we're talking with Ali. We're trying to deal with that new situation and all the anger and hatred and emails and phone calls. And we were deer in the headlights, and we have to cop to the fact that we did not handle this well in communicating with the listeners.
Yes.
On many levels, and I think that's our bad too.
Let's take a break, Ralph, and come back and talk about the other thing, because, and I'll speak for you on this, what I say, that the online consensus from a very small number of people who are doing everything they can to make this be the storyline is that Ralph is somehow the villain here. That he is somehow the instigator of this, that he is somehow the guy who forced this on everybody for nefarious reasons. There's been a lot of BS that topic.
There's misinformation, rumors, and outright lies on the internet right now, which is the
most shameful.
Disturbing part for me.
And the truth is, when stuff like that is allowed to fester and not addressed, and that's our fault that we probably haven't had this conversation earlier, but when stuff like that is just left out there, it just continues to pick up steam. And that's why we need to address it, and that's why we'll continue this conversation when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're taking care of a little in-house business. We've gotten a lot of response, and Ralph, I'm glad you mentioned in the last break that we do read everything that is sent to us.
Sure.
And we do hear you, and we do understand why people have been their routine has been rocked by some of the changes on the show recently, and that's why we're addressing it right now. We're actually going to include a couple of phone calls here, too, at 1-800-520-1067. But, Ralph, it's been especially a tough week for you. What's been going on?
Yeah, I don't know how it happened, but I was somehow fingered as the person responsible for this in some way, which I don't know where that came from. I really don't. I know there's been a bunch of lies and rumors and misinformation out there, some from sources very close to Lisa May, which is even more confusing because there's a handful of people who know exactly what went down here, and I don't even know all the details. I mean, here's the bottom line. It's flattering if you think I wield the kind of power where I can hire and fire people that I want to on a multi-million dollar radio station for a long-time established morning show like Kevin and Bean. But it's very much the Kevin and Bean show, and I am honored that they value my opinion about things. And I agreed when they came to me and said, Ally McKay's a free agent. She's not on television anymore. Do you think she could add something to the show? I had never worked with Ally. She had always been in here subbing for me when I was out, but I was a huge fan of hers, and I think she's a huge talent. And so I said, yeah, I could see that. I don't have anything against Lisa May. I don't have any special relationship with Ali. It's just, it seemed like, as Kevin mentioned, a chance to change things up on the show with the hopes of forcing us to go in a new direction, to open up things that we do, the way that we behave on air, and try to freshen up and reinvent the show a little bit. And so I supported that decision. But by no stretch of the imagination am I as far as I can see, the villain in this piece. I didn't go out to try to stab Lisa May in the back or anything that I'm being accused of. It's very difficult. And I understand there are hurt feelings out there with the listeners. I get that. But the hurt feelings go both ways. And it's been an enormous amount of vitriol and anger and abuse that has been dumped on all of us in the show.
Especially Allie, by the way.
Especially, and I did want to get
to
that.
Who is completely victimless. You know, not the victim.
The only thing Allie did was accept a job that was offered to her that any one of you probably would have accepted if that had been offered to you. She had no role in this other than when the decision was made for someone to go to serve, would you be interested in working on the Kevin and Bean show? So for her to get death threats, rape threats, the abuse that she's been getting online, the names she's been called, it hurts my heart to think that our listeners are even capable of that. And I like to think
it's been pretty shameful.
It's a small percentage of you, but the fact that anyone could be capable of that sort of evil, anonymous internet evil, breaks my heart. And we've been getting a ton of it as well, Kevin and Bean and myself, and I understand that you're angry, but you have to know that any decision that was made on this show was only made for the purposes of trying to do a better show and to give you the best show that we can give you. That's always our motivation. There's no nefarious motivation behind any of this. There's no evil conspiracy. It was just an attempt, and maybe it won't work out, and maybe it will. We won't know until we try it. But it was an attempt to do the best show that we could do. And people have been claiming, I've been blocking people on Twitter, and I've been not responding. It's just my attempt to sort of safeguard my own feelings, because you can only read so much of this stuff. You can only get so many accusations and things before you start to not be able to deal with it. And so you start to block yourself off from the outside world. And if I've blocked you on Twitter, if I haven't responded to your emails, I apologize. And it was also part of that knee-jerk reaction I had when we announced it, when people were saying they weren't going to listen anymore. And I said, well, if that's the case, fine. Of course, I didn't mean that. That was me responding to a bunch of hate that I was getting. And sometimes my nature is to want to fight back. And so I apologize if I offended anyone with that behavior. But especially Allie is blameless here. And I really would say what you want to me and email what you want to me, and I can take it. But this very talented lady who is in here trying, you know, it's hard enough to start a new job, but to have to put up with what she's put up with the past week, I'm ashamed of our listeners. And I would take it as a personal favor if you could behave civilly. I mean, you may grow to hate her on her own merits later on in the show.
That's very likely.
That's completely possible.
Very likely.
Give her time to earn your hate.
But she hasn't done anything, I promise you. She's not a bad person. And so,
But Ralph, it's not special that you blocked me on Twitter now if you're blocking everyone on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to put some people back. I feel bad that I've sort of distanced myself and isolated myself. But it's been brutal. And I understand that you're angry and your feelings are hurt, but...
But let me just butt in there. Rightfully so,
yeah,
you're angry.
I get that.
Rightfully so, your feelings are hurt because Lisa was treated poorly, and the fact that you care this much is a tribute to who she is.
That's right.
So we understand why you're angry.
But there's a better way we all can deal with this, maybe.
That's right. It's a legitimate point of view, and it was a business decision. And you know what is frustrating to me as well, guys, is that when Hanley Ramirez gets traded to the Red Sox, nobody says, well, that's it. I'm not going to watch the Dodgers anymore. I'm not a Dodgers fan anymore because they lost a player. You know what I mean? Because you have confidence in the organization. When you tune into The Walking Dead and they kill off Tyrese, sorry, spoiler alert if you're not caught up, you don't go, oh, I hate The Walking Dead now because I liked that character. You have some confidence in the Dodgers. You have some confidence in Robert Kirkman because you like The Walking Dead. I wish people had a little confidence in Kevin and Bean, our show, because we've got a pretty good track record of bringing people on to the program. You know, with the exception of a couple of sports guys that worked out in the 90s and maybe Beer Mug, the rest of the hires have been pretty darn good on this show, right? It would be great if people thought, wow, this is different, and it may take me some getting used to, but, you know, Kevin and Bean have worked really hard for a long time to put on a pretty good show, and they've brought in people like Ralph, and they brought in people like Jimmy, and they brought in people like Money, and they brought in, you know, and all the various producers and phone ops and everything else that we've had over the years that have all been have worked out pretty well. I wish people had a little confidence in us that you guys don't know Allie yet. We know enough about her to think it's going to work out great. And then my hope is a month from now, 2 months from now, people will go, wow, I really enjoy that show. They got great chemistry, and that's funny. That's what the goal is here. That's all we're trying to do.
A lot of people were asking, who should we be mad at? The truth is, it's Bean and I. that we made the decision. We brought Ralph in at the very end and said, is this cool with you? That's how it worked out. And it was a terrible decision, and it makes us feel like assholes, to be honest. And then it was just went so south the way it was handled, and then we were embarrassed. Like, I didn't want to come on here and tell everybody that it went down that ugly, because it's embarrassing. It's hurtful, especially because we love Lisa.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, we were involved in hurting her deeply.
And people say, oh, I felt like Lisa was my friend in the mornings when I listened. I felt like she was my family when I listened. She was and is our friend. She was and is our family. So it was a really hard thing for us to do on so many levels.
Finally, we said, you know what? We gotta put on our big boy pants. Every once in a while, we have to act like an adult and make a business decision, which is what this was. And we said, we love you. We love you. Let's try to shake things up and see what happens, if we can make things even better. And that was Bean and my decision.
But mostly Ralph. Let's take a break. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Should we dare to take some phone calls?
Sure.
Guys?
Sure.
Sure. I mean, since we're talking about it, I think it's a good idea to get as much information out there and as many feelings out there, and maybe we can all start to deal with this in a different way.
We'll be right back.
We are going to get back to the regular show here in a couple of minutes, but first we're taking some time out to address some of the recent changes on the Kevin and Bean Show, losing our longtime friend Lisa May from the program, and starting what we hope is a new excellent chapter with our new friend Allie McKay. We are going to be brave enough to take some phone calls, you guys, at 1-800-520-1067. Hopefully the people on the phone are not the same people who are threatening death to us all.
Yeah. Let's start with Ryan in Calabasas. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys, long-time listener. I've enjoyed you guys since the 90s and appreciate you guys taking the time to, discuss it. I guess for the listeners, a good answer or to address would be, what is it that Ali brings to the show that's different than Lisa May?
I would say interests.
Good question.
Interests. She's heavily into sports. She has a very different personality, and that kind of interaction, you never know. It's like your favorite sports team. Sometimes they make a move and you go, I love that person. Why would they? And then the chemistry sort of changes and things work and grow in a positive way. And that's our goal. Are we positive that's going to happen? No. Does that make Lisa bad? Not at all.
No, not at all.
It's just a change up to try and, spice things up, be challenged in different ways than we were before, and see things in different ways than we were before, and it's the best we can do.
And she does have a very different personality with a very different background. I know some of the things, Ralph, there's some things that you're excited about with Allie too, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know Allie has done some voiceover work and animation and things like that. I know she's done some voice acting before, and I'm hoping as we move forward and we kind of find our legs here, I want to try to work her more into our voice bits and things like that, have her play some characters, maybe develop some things that we couldn't do because of where we were before.
All right, let's go to...
And she's also sassy.
She's sassy.
Let's go to Richard in Irvine. Hi, Richard.
Sassy.
Hi. Like I said, first time caller. I love you.
Thank you.
I think definitely I agree with you guys that, how it went down was really bad. As a listener who just found out actually right now, I thought she was sick. I've been sick myself.
Right.
I think, first of all...
I'm sorry, Richard. We're having trouble hearing you. Your phone's really, really having trouble here, son.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me a little better?
Yeah, better. Yes, thank you. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. The listeners that are threatening and doing all that, that's absurd. True, okay, listeners, I'm getting back to this show. That's just something being out there, my...
Can't hear you.
You're breaking up, yeah. Richard. I'm sorry.
We are losing you.
It says here that he's upset that it happened, but he's more upset how it happened. And boy, that couldn't be more.
He's right. He's absolutely right.
He's absolutely right. And I've been almost sick for a couple of weeks over it. I've emailed back and forth with Lisa and said, this is not how it was supposed to go. This is not our plan. And it turns out we didn't have nearly as much power as we thought we did.
And also, when we compare it to other people who have come and gone on the show, we had the opportunity to say goodbye on air and do a farewell broadcast.
Right,
and, so,
right.
And I think that's what people were expecting. And unfortunately, that was taken out of our hands and we weren't able to do that. But yeah, it does kind of leave you hanging a little bit. I understand. That's legitimate. Let's go to Jill. She's in Canyon Country. She's up next on line 3 here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jill, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding. What can we do for you?
Oh, I'm just so upset. Thank you for taking my call. I'm so upset that you won't have traffic anymore, and of course that you won't have Lisa. I've seen Allie on KTLA. She's the best part of that show. I'm not sure that I feel that she's not a fit so far. I'm not pleased with it. But more importantly, I travel from Santa Clarita every day, and I listen to you guys in the morning, and if you don't have that traffic, what am I going to do? I'm going to have to go to another station to listen to that. So I think it was a very poor decision to get rid of her. To get rid of the traffic altogether.
Yeah, it started with getting rid of the traffic. And I think, and we could be completely wrong, but I think people who really need traffic information go to an AM station that does it all the time, or go to Waze or one of these apps that does it full time, because you're going to wait for 30 minutes until we get to traffic again?
And she may not even talk about the intersection that you're at. You know, she can't do it all.
And part of the other problem, not that we're, you know, encouraging you to go to other stations during the drive, but I mean, at least if you're getting traffic on KNX, they're doing it at the exact same time every hour. They're doing it at like 10, 20, 30, 40, whatever it is. On our show, with the way our clock runs, sometimes Lisa would be doing the traffic at 21 after the hour. Sometimes it would be 26 after the hour. Yeah. It's not really super reliable for people who are counting on a certain time. That was kind of another factor, you know, in the decision. But it's a good point you make, and I'm glad you call, and good luck with that commute every day. Thank you so much for that. All right, we got time for a couple of more. Let's go to Connie. She's in Anaheim. She's got the early reviews in on Allie's 4 days on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's see what she's got to say.
Hi, Connie.
Hi, guys. First of all, good morning, guys.
Hi, morning.
Lisa May, ding, ding, ding. Oh, she's not there. Sorry.
I see what you did there.
Wow. See?
Well played. Yeah. Go ahead.
So every time I leave in the morning, right as I'm leaving, I very much enjoy her traffic because Waze, I travel from Anaheim all the way to the San Fernando Valley, and it's not always accurate. So I have, I don't even use Waze. I use Lisa. And second of all, most importantly, is Lisa has like an amazing personality. Even though she was there initially just to do traffic, she put up, you know, with a lot from you guys.
She sure did.
Yep. She did.
You know, who does
look,
Lisa?
This isn't about Lisa not having a great personality or not being a delightful person and a fun person to work with, but she is a different person than Allie is, and Allie has a particular set of skills, as I once learned in a movie. Yeah. And
she will find us and she will kill us.
Exactly.
Being I'm very, on behalf of the Asperger people, how did you let this routine be changed for us? We're dying.
It's tough.
The routine, yeah. Change is very tough. Yeah. I'm with you right there. Thank you very much for the call, Connie. We appreciate that. All right. How about let's go to Megan. Let's get a change of pace here. Megan's in Huntington Beach. She's on line 4. She's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, Megan.
Hi. I'm in the car, so I'm sorry if you can't hear me. Long-time listener. Been listening to you guys since I was 5 years old with my dad in the car on the way to school.
That's bad parenting right there. That is terrible parenting. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I love it. You know, it hit me like a brick when I heard this morning I'm driving to work that Lisa May is going to be gone. But it makes me even more upset, like the second caller, that listeners are resorting to such evil methods of expressing their emotions. I feel like it's just not a constructive way to express that you feel sad about something. And it's unfortunate for Allie that she has to come into this new environment with all those people kind of already, like, out to get her. You know, I really think that it's not fair for you guys to be receiving that flack either, because it was a business decision, and at the end of the day, you know, life goes on, and it wasn't your fault. So, I don't know, I just wanted to let you know there's people like me out there that are really sad, and we're upset about the way that it happened, but we support you, and it's not, you know, that it was your fault.
That is really, really nice of you to say. And I think sometimes, and I think, Ralph, you alluded to this earlier in the conversation, sometimes it's easy to think that the vocal minority online is everybody.
Right.
In reality, it's a pretty small percentage. Most people are a little too passive to even try to interact with a radio show over what's going on the air, right?
Right. And we hope that the majority of people are like Megan, who certainly, of course, we understand, are disappointed and saddened by the fact that Lisa's gone. But at least have the wherewithal and I think the support for Kevin and Bean. I mean, take me out of it. These guys have been working a long time on this station to give you the best show they possibly can. And that's always their motivation for every decision that they make. You need to understand that if a change was made, it's because they want to be better. And not a lot of teams in radio at their level would do that, would care that much about trying to shake things up and make the show better and make it different to make the change that they made. It was very difficult for them to make, and their only motivation was to try to be a better radio show for you, the listeners. So if you, I can understand it if you're upset with them and me and the decision and the situation. I can understand it completely. But I also beseech you to understand that Kevin Bean's heart was in the right place when they made the decision that they genuinely thought would make some positive changes for the show, and to give them a little support and to give them a little bit of time to see how this thing all plays out.
Let's give Omar the final word. He's in Pasadena Hills on line one. Then we got to go. Hey, Omar.
Hey, can we get back to the funny?
Probably not, sadly.
I don't like hearing Ralph kind of sad. That's I don't know what that's all
look,
about.
We're all
I'm
sad.
Sober, Omar. That's the problem.
We're all sad, but why are we going to change things now and get back to the comedy? I mean, seriously.
Really, you're coming to the wrong show if you're expecting comedy, Omar. Thanks for the call.
Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53. Remember that guy Ralph used to do the Showbiz Beat? That was awesome. Where you been, Alan?
I got fired!
Hey, you guys, I ran out to my car. I didn't miss anything.
No.
No?
Okay. No, we're good.
Just doing the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. That's all you
missed. That's right.
A little mental
break.
Hey, Jim Rome, coming up after the top of the hour. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Congratulations to Imagine Dragons. They've scored their first number one album, Smoke and Mirrors.
Good for them.
Debuted in the top spot on the Billboard 200. Sold almost 200,000 units that week.
It's a lot these days.
That's a lot for a CD.
That is.
Who buys CDs
anymore? By the way,
anymore, right?
They were number one in a bunch of countries, too. So it's, Canada and England, lots of places. So it's happening for them, man.
Are they Merkin? Are they Merkin?
They are.
All right, then.
Hashtag Merkin.
They can have them. God bless America. Bruce Jenner probably won't be facing any charges after that nasty collision that left one woman dead on the Pacific Coast Highway. Law enforcement has done their investigation, and they say that... he was driving HUA. You're familiar with that police term?
No.
HUA.
You have DUI, right?
Right.
You know what DUI stands for, driving under the influence?
Right.
Sure. Are you familiar with the police phrase, driving HUA?
I'm not, Ralph.
Oh. That means you were driving with your head up your ass. And I'm not kidding. That's an actual term cops use.
No,
it's not.
It is. They use it humorously. They don't write it down in the report. But if they say someone was driving HUA, it means... they're not legally at fault. They weren't doing anything illegal, but they probably weren't paying as much attention as they should to
they
what
could
was
have
happening.
Paid better attention. Mm.
Yes, yeah. And they say it appears that Jenner was driving between 46, 47 miles per hour, but did not see the backup of cars until the very last minute for some reason. And by that point, he slammed on his brakes, and it was too late when he finally made the realization of what was happening on the road. But the entire accident, they estimate, occurred in less than 3 seconds.
Wow.
So, I'm not going to accuse the guy. No one knows what was happening, why he was HUA. But don't text and drive, man. Don't reach for your phone or a CD or anything. 3 seconds can make the difference between life and death. And it's just devastating. Devastating.
I don't know what the, not to get serious on you here, Ralph, I don't know what the answer is going to be to stop people from texting and driving. But do you see it 20 times a day when you're out there on the road?
Constantly.
I do.
Constantly.
I mean, it's an epidemic.
Don't
in this
get me
country.
Started on Dave the King of Mexico, by the way.
Yeah, no kidding.
I can do it because I have a skill. I can do it.
He's the guy that doesn't use windshield wipers, too.
That's
so,
right. Yeah,
he's shaky to begin with.
Linda Lohan in the news. We were talking about her yesterday because we mentioned that Lindsay's lawyer said she had almost completed her 260 hours of community service, largely in London while she was over there doing the play Speed the Plow. And then the prosecutors and the people in charge of her probation said, well, can you see the breakdown of those community service hours? And they said, sure, here you go. And such was the case that they claimed the 2 hours that she was on stage for her matinee performance was community service.
What?
And the 2 hours she spent that evening on stage was community service. And the 2 hours she spent shaking hands with fans after the show was community service. That was 6 hours right there in one day.
You. What about the 8 hours she spent sleeping? Does
that
count?
Community service, yes.
Wow.
Anyways, they had the meeting yesterday. They had the court hearing yesterday, and they did a little research into what she claimed was her community service. And they have disallowed 125 hours of the 260 that she claims to have done.
Wow.
Roughly half of that time, they are assuming, was total BS. And so that will not count towards her community service. And now she needs to redo 125 hours of legitimate community service in order to fulfill the obligations of her probation.
I'm no lawyer or judge, but that sounds like a reasonable ruling to me.
I bet they're being generous. I'm guessing you could have found another 50 hours in there that would have been effing shaky. I think, hanging out with a Coke dealer probably was not... would not be considered community service. It was a criminal outreach program.
Maybe she was trying to talk about it.
She was trying to talk him into another kind of life.
Yeah.
1 gram at a time. Netflix is serious about their network future. They have just invested in 5 new kids shows that are going to be on over the next year.
It's unbelievable how much original programming they have in development right now.
They're generating a ton of stuff. Speaking of which, some of them are new versions of old favorites, and I'm very excited to announce Danger Mouse. You guys may not know Danger Mouse.
I know Danger Mouse the DJ.
Yeah, this is Danger Mouse the cartoon, which was large...
Dead Mouse, by
Dead
the way.
Dead Mouse. Yeah, I was thinking, I don't know Danger Mouse.
Allie just looked at me like...
I didn't even notice it.
What the F is wrong with you?
I just nod at Kevin now like a bobblehead.
That's
whatever
the way
he
says,
I just keep moving. Danger Mouse was a British cartoon. Which is very funny. A secret agent Mouse and his trusty hamster sidekick Penfold.
Nope.
Battle.
That wasn't a thing.
Battle supervillains.
Stop
it's
acting.
Awesome.
Stop acting
Danger
like
Mouse that. Crushes.
Stop acting like that was a thing.
Danger Mouse was awesome. He has a patch over his eyes. He's like Nick Fury.
What happened to Danger Mouse's other eye?
You don't want to know, man. It's the whole thing with that trap and that peanut butter. You don't want to get into it with Danger Mouse. He'll kick your ass. He used to live at Bean's house.
That's nonsense.
Stephen Fry will do the voice, which is exciting. And Inspector Gadget's coming back.
Hey, how about that?
26 new episodes of Inspector Gadget. You know Inspector Gadget, right, Kevin? No, but I know the DJ Inspector Gadget.
Wasn't this the horrible Matthew Broderick movie from a while back?
It was a horrible movie, but the actual cartoon itself was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it was voiced by the late, great Don Adams. Maxwell Smart himself used to be the voice of Inspector Gadget.
Huh. Go, go, Gadget arms! Go, go, Gadget legs! Well, Penny, I don't know. Let's try to stop the claw.
That was the bad guy, the claw.
Everything you're saying is nonsense.
Yes, Gadget. Yes, I'll get you, Gadget.
Come on, people! What's wrong with you? What were you doing with your childhoods?
I don't know who your agent is these days, but it sounds to me like there's a lot of new voice work available
for
God.
That's what I'm talking about.
With all these cartoons coming back.
Don Adams is finally dead.
That's right.
I've been waiting for him to kick off so I could use this voice somewhere.
Would it be awesome if you were the voice of Inspector Gadget?
I'm throwing my mechanical hat in the ring right now.
I like it.
Got to.
Go, go, Gadget legs! Let's go, Penny!
That was his niece. He had a niece. I don't know how he was a robot. How is this family procreating?
That's what I'm saying. Everything you're saying is nonsense.
Dink-a-dink-a-dink, Inspector Gadget. Dink-a-dink-a-dink-dink-dink.
You don't remember the theme song?
No.
All right, next hour, we're all going to sing the theme song.
I don't think we're all going to sing it. But
today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Bolton is 62 years old today. Nate Roos of Fun is 33. Teresa Palmer, the actress, is 29 years old. And Corinne Bailey Ray.
Nothing easy to say, is it? You got to slow down.
Celebrates her birthday. Today, she is 36 years old. I was just going to say, Corinne Bailey Ray. That's kind of like a tongue twister name, isn't it?
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
And that was like one-tenth of the entire
take
of me trying to say her name.
I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the showbiz beat.
We always look forward to Thursday mornings at this time. We catch up with our friend Jim Rome. He is the host of the Jim Rome Show, 9 to noon on AM 980, The Beast. And, of course, the CBS Sports Network, weekday afternoons at 3, and Jim Rome on Showtime every month. The pride of Calabasas. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Rome joins us here.
Hey, yes.
Jim, how are you, buddy?
Yes. 818 for life, baby. 818. What's up, fellas?
Jim is not only a local. He was born in the freaking valley, for God's sakes. You talk about 818 for life, man.
No, I was not. I was not born in the valley, but I moved to the valley. I moved
thought you were
to the valley.
In Tarzana.
No, man. When you go to Wikipedia, Wikipedia is awesome. Well, I was born in Tarzana. No, I was actually born in L.A., and then I moved to the hood that was Tarzana later on in life, but I am valley for life. 818.
Here are my feelings.
I wish I were born in the valley.
Here are my feelings on Wikipedia. If I can change it, you shouldn't trust it.
Exactly.
That's the way I look
exactly
at it.
Exactly. Yeah, it will change it to me being born in L.A. where I was really born.
No worries.
Okay, go. That is well noted. Now, listen, this is it's ugly anytime domestic violence is in the news, and unfortunately it happens too often in stories involving athletes. But this Dez Bryant story seems peculiar to me, and I guess it's something that's been bubbling. People have known about it for a long time, but it's just kind of making its way to the public. Can you please bring us up to speed with what's going on with the Cowboys' Dez Bryant?
You know, as much as I can, it's actually a very tricky thing. And the latest is, it starts off where all of a sudden there's this media speculation and this innuendo and all these rumors that something may have happened, but we don't exactly know what it was. The latest is NFL media reports that police in Lancaster, Texas, generated this incident report after they were called to a Walmart parking lot back in 2011. And in that incident, a witness reported seeing a female being dragged from one vehicle to another, and Dez Bryant's name is mentioned in the report. So, guys, something happened. Right. Something's there, but we don't know what it was, because still nobody's saying for the record that they've seen the tape. No charges have been filed, and I just can't speculate on what he may have done or what's going to happen until I see the tape. I can't judge this guy until I've seen the tape. Nobody I know has seen the tape. So until we see it, we just don't know.
Yeah, well, there's two problems. There's the NFL machine that tries to keep everything out, and there's also people who want to bring NFL players or Dallas Cowboy players down. So all that kind of speculation just adds to it, and until you really have a report, you don't – I mean, I want to think bad things about the Cowboys. Can I still do that?
Yes.
You can do whatever you want.
Okay,
you can do whatever you want. But I just think to this guy, I mean, for instance, what if there is no tape? Everybody's speculating about the tape. There's even talk that what's on this tape may be worse than what Ray Rice did to his fiance and that tape. But what if there's no tape? You know, and if no tape ever actually surfaces, then you're going to think somebody found the tape and buried the tape. So
right.
There's all this speculation that may be unfair, and it might be fair. I'm not going to be one of those cats that rushes to judgment and says, well, I'll tell you what I think happened, because I have no idea. Until I see the tape, I'm not going to say anything.
I think that's wise, and I also know that the tendency is to jump to a conclusion based on the personality of the player involved. And Dez Bryant, I mean, he's a punk, right? Haven't the police been out to his place on various calls a dozen times or something like that over the years? I mean, he's no stranger to law enforcement there.
Now, punk might be strong. It might be a strong word, but this guy's got a rap sheet now. I mean, he's got a rap sheet, and he's had issues off of the field. That's certainly the case. And I think that thing is not helping him right now. But again, just because he's got that rap sheet doesn't mean there's a tape, and doesn't mean that he did something on that tape that is, quote, five times worse than what Ray Rice did to his fiance. I mean, the whole thing is really, really tricky. And I think until we see it, even if the guy's not a good dude, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
You do.
Until we see a tape.
You are innocent until proven guilty, then. That's the way it should be, and that's what America was built on. Why, Jim, last question on this, why are we hearing about this in 2015 if this thing happened in 2011? Like, why has it resurfaced?
Yeah, because somebody just threw it out. There's a guy named Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk who just kind of threw it out the other day, and then everybody's starting to chase this thing right now, and, you know, we don't know. So I think it's a matter of, a lot of these reporters will say, well, I've heard about this, I've been working on this, but nobody actually went on record with it and said, I know the tape exists, I've seen the tape, or I know several people who have seen the tape, and I've been able to corroborate that the tape does exist. Somebody just threw it out recently, and now everybody's just chasing it, and the mob's rushing in.
All right, let's switch gears, talk basketball for a minute. First of all, the Cavaliers have bounced back. They're starting to look pretty good again after kind of a spotty season. Second of all, someone named LeBron James Jr. is in the news. What's this about?
I think there's very much pressure on a kid named LeBron James Jr.
No kidding.
This is awesome. So the kid's 10, and all of a sudden now he literally is not only getting attention from colleges, but reportedly there are schools offering him scholarships already at age 10. And the old man, senior, is getting all weirded out by it, like, get off my kid, he's only 10. So the whole thing is absurd, and it's creepy, and it's a little bit greasy, but everything involving recruiting in youth sports is, right?
Yeah.
So if offering a 10-year-old kid is never going to be a coach's proudest moment, trust me, in a way, you've got nothing to lose. It's not like the kid's not going to be great, and if you don't do it, some other greaseball coach will, and trust me, nobody wants to miss on the next LeBron, especially when it's LeBron Jr.
What are the rules, by the way? I mean, is that allowed? Can you try to recruit kids that are still in middle school?
You can. Yeah, you can. They're not breaking any rules here. If they go about it the right way and they do it during the right times, there's nothing wrong or illegal with offering a 10-year-old kid, other than it just seems creepy and greasy. But yeah. No, it's not against the rules. You can do that. You know, and the bottom line, if this kid's game does fall apart and he turns out to be more like Marcus Jordan than Michael Jordan, you know, Mike's kid has not much game,
yeah,
there's a good chance you won't even be at that school in 8 years when the kid comes to collect on it anyway.
That's
kind of rolling
point.
The dice.
Yeah.
All right, I think we're out of time. We have to leave it there. Jim, anything exciting coming up on your program today on The Beast?
No. Just kidding. No, just kidding. No, of course I do, man. It's every single day. I can't wait to get there. We will talk Dez Bryant. The thing that we may talk about that we didn't hit today, the L.A. Kings, fellas, they've won
Woo-hoo!
Eight in a row. And they're doing what they do, right? They just throw the switch. You're not supposed to be able to, but they did. And we'll talk about Josh Hamilton, who's got some more issues.
Oh, yeah, I heard about the cocaine with Mr. Hamilton. That's bad news, too. The Jim Rome Show at 9 to noon on the AM 980 The Beast. You can look for him on Showtime every month and the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Network every afternoon at 3. We'll talk to you next Thursday at 8, sir. Thanks for the time.
Appreciate you, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we got a contest, right? What are we giving away? Is this a New Orleans trip?
This is another trip to New Orleans, courtesy of our friends at the film Focus, which looks awesome, by the way. This is with Margot Robbie, also with Will Smith. We're talking about airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash. Let me see. What can we tell you? You got to be be a movie fan. I don't want to narrow it down any more than that. But Ralph Garman gives you a chance to win that trip for two to New Orleans. If you want to call right now and be a contestant, you can. 1-800-520-1067. You will win that next here on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 23 minutes after 8.
Hey!
Been a long...
Hey, Ralph Garman. How are you, man?
I'm a little late.
That was the end of that song.
Yeah.
Okay,
been a long time since we had a new Will Smith movie. I like him so much. This film looks awesome. It is called Focus. It is in theaters everywhere starting tomorrow. It also stars the beautiful Margot Robbie, by the way. And it's a heist movie. It's the latest in a long line of great con man movies.
Yes.
Again, it's called Focus. And what are they giving us to give away here, Ralph?
This is pretty cool. The majority of the movie takes place in New Orleans, the one in Louisiana.
That one.
So how about a trip for two to New Orleans, including airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash, all courtesy of the folks who are bringing the movie Focus, which is in theaters everywhere this Friday. A con man in New Orleans, that's my movie. I'm there.
Yeah.
That's strong.
Take my money now.
1-800-520-1067 if you want to be a contestant with our new game called Get Willy With It.
Getting Willy With It.
That's it.
Come on!
No.
That's it.
Omar.
That's the whole thing. Getting
Not
Willy With
trying.
It. That's it?
That's the whole thing. Let's try it again.
Getting Willy With It.
Come on!
No.
All right.
I'm saying he's not working anymore. He is really just phoning it in.
Hey, he wasn't fired too, was he? Is anyone?
No, he's still there.
How's Get Willy With It work, Ralph?
Getting Willy With It, Bean. Come on,
Bean. Sorry. You know the song?
That the whole intro is just one thing. Will Smith, of course, is the star of the movie, as you mentioned, along with Margot Robbie. Boy, that Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
She's kind of something, isn't she?
Yeah,
she is.
So I thought it'd be fun to take a look back over the career of Will Smith and take a look at some of his movies. What I will do is give you a brief description or clue about the film, then we'll play a little moment from the film to help you identify it, and then you just have to tell us what the title of the Will Smith movie is as we're getting Willy With It.
Sounds fun. All right.
Come on. We got one thing to play.
Getting Willy With It.
My bad.
He did say getting Willy With It. You know, he did say that.
Getting Willy With It.
Let's meet our first contestant, shall we? And if they're able to identify the Will Smith movie, they go into the drawing to win the trip to New Orleans.
All right. It's Manuel in Los Angeles. Hi. Manuel.
What's up, party people? How are you doing?
Manuel.
Who says Manuel?
Are you an instructional book?
No.
Okay,
they
Manuel.
Call me Manny.
All right, Manny.
Manny.
You ready to get Willy With It?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Getting Willy With It.
All right, here's the first film. It's kind of cool that Will Smith is playing a con man in this new film, Focus, because it's kind of going back to his roots. In his very first film, in 1993, he also played a con man who preys on a pair of New York socialites by pretending to be a close college friend of their Ivy League kids. Here is a scene from the movie.
I'm so sorry to bother you, but I've been hurt and I've lost everything. I didn't know where to go. Your children. I'm a friend of your children.
He mentioned our kids' names.
And the school they go to.
Harvard. You can say Harvard.
I don't want to get into libel.
Yeah. You know the name of the movie, Manny?
Where the Day Takes You?
No. 6 Degrees of Separation.
Ah.
The name of that film. Yeah.
Will's first movie. Played a con man.
It was weird at the time. We thought, why is the Fresh Prince thinking he can be a movie star?
And remember, he's got a gay kiss in that film. And that was all the
very
story.
Controversial.
Like, he's a rapper. How's he going to be able to pull that off? And is he going to get his street cred's going to be gone? It was a big deal at the time.
He did okay. All right, so not so much for Manny. Who's next?
Next is Crystal in Los Angeles. Hi, Crystal.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Ro.
Hey, Crystal. Here's your movie. This is a 2005 romantic comedy about a guy who's a professional dating consultant who teaches men how to get women. Here's a clip.
8 out of 10 women believe that the first kiss will tell them everything that they need to know about a relationship. And believe me, she has definitely thought about it.
She has.
Oh, of course. I mean, not that she's going to act on it, so it's no real big deal.
Right. Well, it's no big deal then.
It's a very big deal, Albert.
Huge.
Monumental.
You know the movie?
Hitched.
Well, we'll take it.
We'll take it.
Close enough.
We'll take it.
Absolutely.
Hitch.
You put an extra at the end of it.
She was talking about when she saw it, past tense.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
That's right. Good. All right, hold on. You're in the drawing for that trip to New Orleans. Who's up next?
All right, next is Ted in Long Beach.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you, Ted.
Morning, Ted. This film's about a disparate group of people who converge in the Nevada desert in the aftermath of a destructive alien attack. Here's your clip.
We're loose. Can you get us out of here in 30 seconds?
I ain't heard no fat lady!
Forget the fat lady. You're obsessed with the fat lady. Drive us out of here.
Here's Will with Jeff Goldblum. You know the movie?
Independence Day.
Well done, sir. Hold on. You're in the drawing.
Right.
What's this game called again, Ralph? I forgot.
Getting Willy with it.
Getting Willy with it.
Try to trip me up, Bean. F you.
He's ready. He's at the helm.
Sal in Wilmington. Hi.
Sal, here's your movie. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is an action buddy comedy film about two cops in the narcotics division of the Miami Police Department.
$105,000, and this happens to be one of the fastest production cars on the planet. See what the 16 in 4 seconds, sweetie. This is a limited edition. You damn right it's limited. No cup holder, no back seat.
You know the movie, Sal?
Bad Boys.
Bad Boys,
nice.
That's right. Hold on, you're in the drawing. These people know their willies.
A couple more? They do.
They're getting willy with it.
Oh, man.
Getting willy with it.
Come on.
Let's go to Tony in Corona. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Tony. In this 2001 film, Will Smith tells the story of one of the most famous athletes of all time.
Joe Frazier told me on this show that he could knock you up.
See, there you go agitating. You should have asked Smoking Joe, what have he been smoking? That boy even dreamed he whooped me. He better wake up and apologize.
Do you have any idea what that movie is?
I think he has.
Tony?
Like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Ali.
Ali. You're absolutely right, Tony.
He actually squeezed in Ali before the clip.
Yes. Before the clip, I know. We worked very hard on these clips. Please let us play them.
One more. Who's next? Next is Catherine.
Me?
Catherine.
Yes.
In bedding.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Catherine, here's your clip. This is from 1997. Will plays a guy who is recruited by a secret organization. Here's your clip.
All right, kid, here's the deal. At any given time, there are around 1,500 aliens on the planet. Most of them right here in Manhattan. And most of them are decent enough. They're just trying to make a living.
Cab drivers.
Not as many as you'd think.
Cab drivers. You have a guess?
Men in Black.
Men in Black is right. You're
correct.
In the drawing. Wow, we have five people. Five people with the right answers.
Yeah. Good contestants. Crystal, Ted, Sal, Tony, Catherine, all in the running to go to New Orleans, including airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash, courtesy of the outstanding new movie called Focus in theaters everywhere tomorrow. Only one can win. Allie, who's our winner?
All right, we've got Crystal, Ted, Sal, Tony, and Catherine. The winner is Crystal.
Crystal!
First person. Congratulations, Crystal.
You're going to New Orleans.
Thank you, Allie.
You're welcome.
Getting willy with it.
Our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up in about 20 minutes or so here on K-Rock. By the way, he is not as enthused, Kevin, about the 50 Shades of Grey movie as maybe a lot of people are. So I'd be curious to hear him talk about that coming up. First, though, a couple of months ago, the latest cybersecurity breach that was in the news, I'm trying to remember. I don't have it in front of me, but it seems to me like it involved like Command Central, like the Pentagon, like the weapons system or something. It got hacked into. And that was on the heels of the White House being hacked, and it was on the heels of the Sony hack, and it was on the heels of the Fappening. And Kevin turned to me and he said, so we just live in a world where there's no such thing as computer security. It's just not – it doesn't exist anymore, right?
Yeah, and yesterday I had a doctor's appointment. I went to San Francisco, and in the airport it said, your solution for internet security. And I was like, no, wrong. There is no solution for that.
It does seem like if the Pentagon can't come up with something that is secure, what chance do my naked photos have of not making it onto the internet? So we wanted to go to an actual expert on this topic, and his name is Ian Schur, and he joins us from CNET.com here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ian, thank you so much for joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing fine. Thanks so much. Is it too much to say that there's no such thing as internet security, that that's just a pipe dream in 2015?
Well, it feels like that, doesn't it? It's really hard. The thing about internet security is that our computers have become so advanced, and they're so they have so much kind of code in them these days that's so intricate that it's really hard to keep them secure. We use a lot of programs that are connected to the internet. We use a lot more than we ever have before. Obviously, our watches are connecting to the internet. Our phones are connecting to the internet. And so what we're learning very quickly is that the old way of doing things, the old way of doing security, which has really been about antivirus and about reactively dealing with whatever threats come up, isn't working. And it's very hard. It's not easy to secure a computer, especially for a normal Joe six-pack, let alone the Pentagon. And what we're learning is that the threats are actually coming from so many directions, from state-sponsored hackers, like hackers that are paid by China and by North Korea,
right,
and all these places to hack in. And it goes all the way into corporate hacking, where other corporations are hacking one another, trying to steal information, the latest blueprints for the next product and whatever.
It seems like every single day somebody else is getting – I mean, if the Pentagon gets hacked, there's no security for me, right?
Well, it's very hard is what I'm trying to get at. And the hard part is people are trying to find solutions. But the problem is that we have this kind of push and pull between letting us do whatever we want on the internet and having it secure, right? And so here's a great example. You all know Snapchat, right?
Yep,
so
sure.
there was this website that someone created called SnapSave, where what you do is that you save these snaps that people send you because you know Snapchat deletes them automatically.
Right.
So this website was not secure at all. This dummy who set it up didn't do anything to protect the website. And so, of course, it got hacked, and suddenly everyone's snaps got leaked on the internet. Now, whose fault is that? And how was Snapchat to be able to protect against it? Because it wasn't their service. It was just someone making a way for people to save their snaps. So that's the kind of problems that we have, is that there's this proliferation of stuff on the internet. Not everyone is smart about it. That's the other thing, is that a lot of consumers do not use common sense stuff like having smart passwords, using a different password at every website. I mean, one of the biggest points of failure in all security is us, you and me. And that's part of the hard part about all of this as well, is that we haven't become smart. Like, it's taken us decades to learn, put on your seatbelt every time you get in a car. But we haven't done that with the internet yet. And that's a huge problem.
But I need security before I get smart.
I disagree.
You're talking about a long time.
Yeah, the problem is that it can't be entirely automated, because what you get is like what happened with Windows Vista. You remember when that came out in 2007, and every time you wanted to do something, you said, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" That's part of the problem, is that the only answers that the computer industry has come up with, and I'm not saying that these are the right answers, but the only answers they've come up with so far are to be incredibly restrictive and barely let you do anything, or have it be a free-for-all and your information isn't safe. And that neither is okay, of course.
Right. And part of the other problem is, and you touched on this a little bit, Ian, is that there are so many players involved. Look, I can do everything I can to nail my stuff down tight, but I still have to go to Walgreens to get a prescription filled. And if Walgreens gets hacked and all of a sudden they have access to all of my medical records and stuff like that seems to happen all the time, there's just so many. I feel like we're in a plastic pool with so many leaks that it's almost impossible to plug them all up.
It's really hard. And it's also, you know, part of the argument for how to fix this is that some people look at smartphones. If you notice, for example, Apple has really locked down the way that their smartphones work, right? You can only get apps from their app store. You can only do certain things with the phone. Compare that to Android, which is all these, you know, Google-run phones. You can do anything you want. So what do we have? Malware on Android is growing at triple digits every year, and there's practically none of it on the iPhone. Now, does that mean that Apple's way of doing it is the right way and the only way? Absolutely not. But it does mean that we do have some answers, and maybe this is kind of where the direction of everything's going. It's really hard. The other thing that people have also proposed is having incredibly hard fines on companies that screw up. So, for example, Sony now is the victim of two of the worst corporate hacks in history, right? The one that happened in December, and then we remember 5 years ago when their PlayStation Network was hacked. And they didn't pay very many fines for that. They paid some fines, but they didn't pay a really high price. And it's kind of like when you think of when banks do bad and you always look at the amount of money they paid versus what their corporate profits are every quarter, and you say, wait a minute, they paid pennies for them. That's part of what's happening here, too. And so some people have argued that the computer industry, and frankly, everyone, Target, everyone in the world that uses the Internet and has protected information, that they should have to face huge fines if they screw up. But does that mean it'll keep us safe? There's no guarantee.
Yes, that's the answer. Wow. There's no guarantee. Right, what can we do?
It's the common sense stuff, and it's boring, and I've said it 100 times, and you've heard it all the time, having a unique password. So the most common password on the Internet is password, or it's 1234, or it's a
How
name.
Did you know my password, Ian? That's incredible. Yes, you're a magician.
So having a hard password is the number one thing you can do. The second number one thing you can do is that you need to have a different password at every website you go. And this is where most people just fall down. They're like, no, I'm not willing to do it. But the problem is that when someone hacks into, let's say, Walgreens, and they get your password, guess what? They've got access to everything now, right? They've got access to your PayPal and your bank and everything else. So if you have a different password everywhere you go, you're going to have a lot more security, because even if you get hacked somewhere else, you are protected in every other website.
And you should probably not put all your passwords on that password app.
No, it was. So there are actually some password apps that are really great. So that was the next thing I wanted to
mention. Name one.
So there's one of them called 1Password. It's run by a company that's in Canada. And it works on Windows. It works on Mac. It works on your iPhone. It works on Android. And what it does is that it will save all your passwords behind what's called an encrypted file. So it's all jumbled up information unless you have the password for that, which hopefully is different from everything else.
See?
You can't get into it, right? And so that's really great. And it actually works very well. It's been around for a long
time. That might save me 20 hours every day from clipping from having to click on forgot password.
Right.
Well, and there's also another one called LastPass, which does very similar things. But the point I'm making is that there are companies out there trying to fix this problem. Now, it's also worth noting that in the future we may not even have passwords. One of the beauty parts, I mean, some of us already have something similar to this already. We've got the iPhone. The latest one has that fingerprint sensor, right?
Right.
There are so many different attempts going on throughout the world to basically get rid of the password, because the thing is, unlike putting on a seatbelt, which we can all learn with muscle memory, passwords are really hard, and we have to change them all the time, and they're really annoying, and why do we do this? Isn't this the 21st century? And so those are some of the questions that they're trying to solve.
But Ian, like I've seen enough movies to know that eventually somebody's going to break into my house and cut off my finger and take it and use that as a password to get into a security.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you one more question. Again, this is Ian Schur here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the executive editor for the West Coast of CNET, CNET.com, and that is, I always hear about how cyber terrorism is going to be the thing that's going to bring down countries. You don't need to invade anymore with weapons. You just invade by infecting computers. What's the biggest fear that you have that somebody might do that really could bring our financial markets or our government to the ground if they got into the right computer?
The worst thing I ever heard was that the most sophisticated hackers today, the people who actually got into Sony in December, their capabilities in 3 years, normal terrorist organizations are going to have. And so the concerns that a lot of the people in the security industry do have is that over time, that the capabilities of these people and people who really just don't care, they want to just cause havoc,
right,
that those people are going to have the abilities to do some real harm. Right now, that, you know, the ability to get into our power systems and whatnot, that's mostly with other states and, you know, countries who have, you know, political reasons that they do it, and also they are willing to hold back all of their capability in the interest of peace. That's not something a terrorist organization is willing to do. And so people are trying to get ahead of this, obviously, but it's a really concerning thing that if these researchers are correct, that the capabilities of hacking are just going to get easier, they're going to get more prolific, and then we've got some real problems on our hands.
Should we just move to Nevada and get a bunker?
Well, that's one argument, right? We could all move to Greenland and, you know, have a nice time. But,
right.
You know, the thing is that going backwards isn't always the answer. I mean, sure, it worked in Battlestar Galactica, but it doesn't entirely fix the problem here.
Good pull.
Well done.
We rely heavily on computers in our world, right? I mean, our economy is so dependent on them that getting rid of them and just tossing out the baby with the bathwater is not entirely the answer.
Yeah, that's
there is
not
an answer
happen.
Out there. We just don't know it yet.
For now, Bean, the nudes under the mattress. for now.
That's good advice. All right. And the last thing I'll say then as we say goodbye to you, Mr. Scher, is that if I'm 13 right now, 14, 15, listening to this broadcast, I'm going into computer science as a field.
Learn code.
That,
it is the best way to do it.
Learn code sounds like that. That sounds like you got a job for life if you're any good at that, right?
Yes, it absolutely. I mean, look around Silicon Valley, right? The average salary is somewhere above $100,000. Like, knowing code is going to be like knowing Outlook today. Like, most of the economy, and a lot of people have looked into this, the president has talked about it, that knowing basic amounts of code are going to be necessary in the future. And we need to start with children. We need to teach them with the ABCs and the 1-2-3s. We need to teach them what a div is, and we need to teach them what code is. And those are things that are really going to make the difference in their lives in 20 years.
What's a div?
Great stuff. Ian Scher, executive editor, CNET, CNET.com. Thanks for the time. We really enjoyed it, sir.
My pleasure.
How about a little Ralph Garman? Time for the Showbiz Bee now here on a Thursday. What's new?
I don't know. I kind of like that other bed that was the... We need to upgrade the Showbiz news.
We can certainly change it.
I'm not like a robot reporter from the future. Today, Kim Kardashian made a lot of money.
That's Danger Mouse.
Danger Mouse, yes!
By the way, Bean, something you'd like to say to Kevin?
There's no way in a million years Kevin was thinking of that Danger Mouse from Broken Bells. He was thinking of Dead Mouse.
Yes, okay.
So, no, I'm not going to say anything to Kevin.
Apparently there is a Danger Mouse musician, yes. Kevin.
We've had him on. We've had him on as a guest
before. I know that.
Yes. Ryan Burton, yeah.
A lot of people and were I like defending Broken Bells. You. A lot of people were defending you, saying, Kevin was right, there's a Danger Mouse
but
musician.
But that's not who he was thinking of.
Kevin?
God bless you people for... Confess, Kevin.
For assuming...
Because during the break, he's like, I was thinking of Dead Mouse.
Five. Dead Mouse Five.
I was not thinking of that. Thank you, everyone, for your support.
They tried, man.
But I wasn't.
Oh, he so easily could have taken
it. I was shocked when you said there's no Danger Mouse, though, because I was like, wait a minute. DJ Danger Mouse.
No, I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah. He wears the big head. All right, let's talk about... The reason we're talking about Danger Mouse, by the way, is because Netflix has announced they are launching 5 new children's shows on their original programming network. Amazon and Netflix, by the way, are in it for the long haul, man.
They really are.
Real.
And Netflix has got the Pee-wee movie coming.
Yeah.
They got House of Cards coming back tomorrow.
Peaky Blinders. Everyone needs to watch it.
Hold on. What?
Peaky Blinders.
What is that?
It's... Cillian Murphy is the star. It's a lot like Boardwalk Empire, but set in Birmingham, England. I'm telling you, watch one episode. There's 2 full seasons right now. Watch one episode. You will be hooked. You will stick with it. If you don't, you hate
it's
life.
It's a mob show? British, yep. British mob.
Prohibition, cocaine.
Is this a Netflix
horses.
Original, or is this just something they're rearing from the BBC?
Netflix original. Oh, no, wow. It's from the BBC. But
so you're
Netflix.
Saying you only want us to watch one, but we'll be hooked. So then what are we supposed
no,
to do?
No, watch one, oh, and you'll you can be watch. Hooked.
Peaky Blinders. All right, there's a
Peaky
tip
Blinders.
For you. Danger Mouse, the kids show, is coming back. Inspector Gadget will have all new episodes starting next month. It's very exciting. Dink, 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 Inspector Gadget. Come on, Kevin.
I'm not familiar.
Well, we're talking about television sad news. The Kardashians have just signed a massive renewal deal with E! Entertainment. According to the New York Post, they're signing a record-breaking $100 million deal to remain with E! For another 4 years.
Ralph, maybe you can confirm this. I just heard an entertainment reporter say that the Kardashians just signed a $100 million deal.
They just signed $100 million.
That's not possible, right?
It is possible, and this deal means that Momager Kris Jenner, Kim, Courtney, Chloe, Kendall, Kylie, Chlamydia, Clanky.
They're not going to give Clanky.
Clanky's the robot Kardashian.
They're not going
to adding this season, they're adding a lovable robot because the season needs a little boost. They are going to be very, very rich. Well, Kevin, you were out yesterday, but we just mentioned that Kylie, I guess it is, the 17-year-old, just bought her first almost $3 million home in Calabasas.
Yes,
yeah, behind it in a gated community.
Yes.
So they're all set.
Yes.
Forever. And it's just, yes. Well, look, you know my take on this family. If they didn't have that money, they'd be living in the trailer behaving the exact same way.
That's
Scott
true.
Disick still wouldn't marry Courtney, and she'd still pump out his illegitimate children, and the other one would be making sex tapes, and the mom would be plumping up herself. She would, instead of Botox, she'd be getting, like, backseat silicon injections from some shady guy in a panel van or something, trying to prop up her still-think-I'm-32-year-old lifestyle. I mean, they would be living the exact same life with no money.
Yeah, that's true.
Bruce would be putting on lipstick and eyeliner. They're just white trash with money.
And now a lot more.
Now a lot more. And I have a lot less. Before I get to the entertainment celebrity birthdays, which is what I'm now calling them.
What happened there?
I got an email here I wanted to get to because listener John Allen wrote it, and I wanted to... What? What are you talking about? Sometimes we read listener emails, that's all I'm saying.
No, not after yesterday.
All right.
John Allen wrote an interesting listener email about a celebrity sighting that he had, so I just wanted to talk about it. He said, Ralph, I was at the boxing gym the other day when who got in the ring with me but famous sportscaster Joe Buck.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't expecting much when we started sparring, so imagine my surprise when he busted out some badass martial arts moves and kicked my ass Bruce Lee style.
Wow.
I learned my lesson never to underestimate anyone in the ring. But really, who knew Joe Buck knew karate? 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 Come on.
Come on, Ralph. Oh, God.
Right?
No.
Right.
No, just no.
Who knew Joe Buck knew karate?
No. 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 Ralph, no. No, 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 no. No.
Agreed.
A lot of these are coming in, people. We're in for a long, long spring.
Why don't you block those people?
Because I love these people. These are my people. Thank you, John Allen, for saying that. Thank you, Peter Grillo, for kicking it off yesterday. Kevin,
Peter.
You missed it. I did like three in a row by Peter Grillo.
Dog shows with Christine Lottie.
Could take one freaking day off.
I got a pup with Christine Lottie. I got a pup with Christine Lottie. Come on.
It's
the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
It's not the greatest thing that's ever happened.
It is. It's the birth of my child and now this.
Not necessarily in that order.
Not necessarily. In case they're listening. Love you, sweetie. I'm just kidding. Daddy loves you. And it's not more important than you. You're the most important. We're going to look at schools today.
Nah.
It's very important that I keep her pumped up. Need to impress the headmasters. Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Bolton. He's 62 years old today. Not that Michael Bolton. Remember that from Office Space?
Yes.
Poor bastard's got the same name as Michael Bolton. Corinne Bailey Ray is 36
so
years old.
So slow. Make sure.
Because how bad would it be if I screwed it up and then make fun of Kevin for screwing it up?
It would be awesome.
But I said it right, Corinne Bailey Ray. This is what it sounds like if you don't say it right.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray.
Wow.
You know my favorite one is? You got the first letter out.
That's it. Not even the O.
No. She's 36 years old. Nate Roos, lead singer for Fun, is 33 years old. And Teresa Palmer, the actress, she's 29. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every week at this time, I look forward to catching up with our old friend, Dr. Drew Lipinski. He, of course, is the host of Loveline here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call on HLN and Middays with Mike Catherwood on KABC. Hey, Doc, how are you?
Good morning, sir.
I know you talked a lot about 50 Shades of Grey back when the book became a phenomenon, but now that the movie is out, it seems like it has sparked more conversation. A lot of people aren't on board with the movie. Tell me what's been coming on your show lately about this.
Be a lot better if the lines just didn't go dead.
Did we just lose the doc?
Be a lot better.
Now we'll get it back. This one of the side effects of this movie being in theaters, Kevin, is copycats. A 19-year-old student was having consensual sex with a woman, took her back to his University of Illinois dorm room, tied her up, but then things got ugly as he started to recreate scenes from the movie, stuffed a necktie in her mouth, and started beating her with a whip.
Oh, no.
That part she hadn't asked for. Hey, Doc, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. That was the weirdest thing ever. My phone line's gone. I don't have a line anymore. But anyway,
sorry about that.
But
it's probably on our end.
It's the North Koreans.
No. I have no phone line in my home. It's gone. That's my problem.
All right.
But listen, he started hitting her with a whip and then punching her with a fist while she begged for him to stop. And, of course, isn't that what a woman's supposed to want? Isn't that where she's supposed to go? Isn't that what 50 Shades of Grey have taught us? That's hot, right?
Tell us what the misconception is about this movie, because I've seen so much on this where people who say, look, they're consensual adults. There's a scene in the book and in the movie where they very clearly state out what's okay and what's not. But other people are saying, no, this is no good for women.
There's so many. Listen, everybody, if it's chick porn and you love it, it makes you whatever, enjoy. I'm not criticizing your experience reading the book. What I'm saying is the story itself is about a narcissistic, stalking, abusive, enslaving trauma survivor who's in business with the woman who perpetrated sexual abuse with him when he was a child. That's his business partner. And now he's giving you a slavery contract. There's certain things you can't consent to, like slavery, for instance. You can't consent to that. You can't consent to be a slave. It's not okay to make somebody a slave, even if they want it. You just can't do that.
Right.
And number one. Number two, so this guy is extremely sick. I mean, a very, very sick, abusive, exploitative, manipulative guy. I mean, he manipulates her into all this stuff. She doesn't willfully get into it. He manipulates her into it.
Then why is he such a sex symbol for every woman in the world
now? Well, because he's hot and rich, man. Come on now.
Yeah, man.
And whatever you're into, dude. But listen, I understand that the build and all that is very sexy. And listen, this is not about BDSM at all. This is no commentary on that at all. This is about the way this guy conducts himself in the relationship. But I have read all three books.
No kidding.
I read all three books.
For research, though, right?
I haven't, and spoiler alert could have been used.
No, hang on. I won't spoil anything because there's nothing to spoil, first of all.
Yeah.
But let me just say, I read the first book, and I started talking about it on television, and people said, oh, the problem is you haven't read all three. You don't understand. Well, I said, okay, I'll dutifully read all three, and I want every minute I spent reading those books back. People owe me money. Mom owe me time.
Dr. Drew is angry.
Dr. Drew,
I find you sexy when you're angry.
Oh, my God, I want my life back. But anyway.
If this character is so despicable, though, and so manipulative and so abusive, why did they sell 100 million copies of the book, and why is he the number one fantasy of so many women in this country? I mean, you saw the box office this thing did $200-something million in the first weekend worldwide.
Because the next phase of the trilogy is where she turns him by this naive, virginal, wonderful young lady turns him into a good man. This, for me, is the most disturbing part of the entire trilogy, because that's the fantasy we're selling. That we're selling devotion as something that's going to change somebody's life. You know, somebody who's severely ill. I mean, really a despicable, ill person. Somehow you can love them into being a empathic, good partner. And that's the worst possible message you could ever give anybody. When you're in a domestic violence relationship, what's the message? Get out.
Yeah.
Get out. Don't worry about turning somebody, because it won't work. Now, you can salvage relationships and you can work on it, and people can be helpful and therapy can work and whatnot, but you can't, by devotion, magically turn somebody into somebody else. It's just, and now we have a situation where a young man at a college has used what he has learned through what he understands now. I mean, how long have people talked about the fact that people think that pornography is bad for a young man and young women, teaching them they're wrong. That's not how women want. That's not what's, you know, how to behave in a relationship necessarily. But somehow this, which is worse because it's really the psychological pornography, is somehow something that we're going to elevate to a standard of romantic ideal.
Yeah, I've heard you say many times over the years that this phenomenon has been happening, that this is in no way a love story, even though that's how it's packaged and sold and perceived by many people.
That's
right.
That's exactly right. I don't know why I get so upset. I'm just concerned. I see that maybe it's because I see it all the time out in the world, in the clinical world, which is people believing this nonsense that you can somehow love somebody to health. And you can certainly support somebody into health, and you can love and continue loving them even if they're pathological, but you can't change them.
I know that you would you'd never advocate a movie like this not being made or shown, but do you think it's dangerous that it's out there, Drew?
No, I'm not going to – listen, I'm not advocating censorship in any way. What I'm advocating is conversation. And if we can elevate the conversation, if 100 million people that see this thing can sit back and think about it and go, I wonder if I should learn more about this, if that's possible, then it's been a net good, net positive. I'm all for it. So it's dangerous. I guess we'll see. I mean, here we have a case of a college student acting out in just horrific ways. Is it because of the movie? No. I mean, the movie isn't causing it, but it may be amplifying, justifying, moving people in a certain direction as opposed to away from that direction.
Right. Very interesting. Well, I'm sure there's going to be a second movie, and I'm sure there's going to be a third movie. So it looks like 50 Shades of Grey is here to stay, right?
Yay.
Dr. Drew will be talking on HLN at 6 o'clock tonight like he do Monday through Thursday. You can catch him this afternoon with Mike Catherwood on KABC. And, of course, Loveline 5 nights a week here on the world-famous K-Rock as well. Drew, thanks for the time, man. We enjoyed it.
See you guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 25 minutes till 10. Hey, real quick, before we get into the showbiz beat, for folks who maybe join us late in the program, they missed a conversation we had earlier today. We did address a lot of the issues people have been having with some of the changes on the show, and I just wanted to give you a heads up that it was fairly exhaustive. We did the best we could to answer as many questions as possible.
Exhausting or exhaustive? I didn't hear what
both.
You said. Though.
Yeah. It was actually both. Yeah. But I bring it up now just to say if you're lucky enough to not be a person who has to be awake at 7 a.m. and you missed it, we are putting it together for a post, and it will be up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and krock.com probably sometime within the next hour. So if you want to get an update on what's been going on behind the scenes here a little bit, please check that out. And thanks in advance for that. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Also, just a quick continuation of that conversation. As expected, and as I always sort of suspected and hoped, seems to be a lot more nice, kind, good people in our listening audience than there has been sort of mean, ridiculous people. And the outpouring of support and kindness and stuff has been sort of overwhelming. So thanks to everyone. I'm trying to get back to everybody who's writing in emails and sending tweets and stuff and everything, but kind of remarkable, and we truly do appreciate it. So, Kardashians, here's the lesson to be learned, kids.
Be hot.
Well, that helps, sure.
Have a sister willing to get peed on?
Yeah. Did someone did one of the Kardashians get peed on?
Sticking with it. Sticking with it.
Is that the news story we're talking about?
I'm all for internet lies.
All right.
Yeah.
If you're a mom like Kris Jenner, just pimp your kids out, whatever you have to do. Get your teenage girls Botox and boob enhancement and whatever it takes, because
I think that's good advice.
There's a payday. Mm-hmm. There's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow. According to the New York Post, is signing a contract with the Kardashians for another 4 years of their presence on television, $100 million.
Unbelievable.
You said $100
million. $100 million. This means the upcoming 10th season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians will not be the last. At least four more years of that show, and Khloe and Courtney take the Hamptons and all the other spin-offs. Kendall and Kylie get a pap smear. That will be also continued. That's a new special.
Is
over
it?
There. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And then Bruce doesn't get a cut of this money, which must just chap his ass. But he's getting his own deal for his upcoming series.
Yeah, but look what they're making him do.
I don't believe they're making him do that,
Kevin.
I believe that's his choice, and he's allowing cameras to follow him through the journey of his sexual reassignment.
Have they said what he will be paid for his?
They have not said.
Need to know.
Yeah, I wonder what that is. That's got to be a pretty good payday, right?
To make someone chop his penis off? Yes, it has to be a tremendous payday.
Not really making him.
Once again, I believe it's his choice, and they are just along for the ride. Kanye West is not part of the deal, you'll be happy to hear. He's not making any money on it.
Okay.
But apparently Scott Disick is.
That's got to really chap his hide. That's got to really make him mad.
Conway's not going to like that. He's going to step up at the dinner table when Scott's trying to talk and interrupt him and try to give a Thanksgiving turkey to Beyonce. It's going to be pretty awkward. Show creator Ryan Seacrest is also believed to be getting a sizable fee from E! For this extension as well.
You got to give it up to a guy like Ryan Seacrest.
Absolutely.
He's not the discernible talent,
really.
He's not the most talented, but he just doesn't make mistakes.
He doesn't.
He's just good.
Like
he's
us.
So hard.
He's solid.
Like
us. Not like us at all.
We don't make mistakes.
A lot of mistakes.
He doesn't make mistakes.
But he's really cashing in off that marginal talent. I admire that.
Good for him.
And then look what he's doing. He took the Kardashians with no talent.
Yeah.
And turned them into a golden goose.
What could he do
That's
for
true.
Me?
What could he do for Ally McKay? Boy, did you sign under the wrong show, Ally McKay.
I've heard.
You've made a huge mistake on so many levels. Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan! We talked about her yesterday. Her attorney, Sean Holly, had to show up into court yesterday. She had some splaining to do, as Desi used to say, because there was a matter of the hours of community service that Lindsay Lohan had to do to keep up with her probation for her accident that she had 7-8 years ago. Anyway, 260 hours of community service were logged by Lindsay Lohan. Well, that's what she claimed anyway. And after some investigation, it turned out she was claiming that some of the community service she was doing, which was largely in London when she was over there doing that play, Speed the Plow, she took those hours spent on stage and wrote them off as community service. 2 hours for example, in one day was for the matinee that she did, another 2 hours for the evening show, and 2 hours for meet and greets with the fans afterwards. There's 6 hours of community service right there.
Well, that's not community service at all.
That's what the court said yesterday. In fact, they disallowed 125 hours of her claimed 260 hours of community service.
Wouldn't you like to see an accounting of every single one of those hours?
Absolutely.
What she
look at the other 135 that you got there. Look, look at
I
those
ate dinner.
Two.
That yeah. counts.
Talk to lady at makeup counter.
That counts.
Flossed. That's a step. That's a step towards good dental hygiene. So no word on how she's going to fulfill that obligation, but I'm guessing she'll be airtight.
Does that fulfill the obligation?
I'm not sure. Today's celebrity birthdays: Corinne Bailey Ray is a singer of some note. Everybody knows her. She's been Grammy nominated. I mean, I think there was a guy who was announcing the Grammys.
No, I don't think you remember that correctly.
And he used to ask about her.
I don't think. Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey Ray. Wow.
Wow, indeed.
Someone in show business hired Kevin
yeah.
to read.
Yeah.
That's what the job was.
And you know what's sort of weird is that all of you have become used to me doing that. But when you're doing it in a room of completely different people.
When it's fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's going on?
Are they all looking at each other like, get rid of this guy.
Yes. Super awkward. And the guy, imagine the guy who suggested the hire, what he's getting at the end of the day. The phone calls he's getting in his office. Hey, you told us to hire this guy, remember?
It was your advice, right?
Corinne Bailey Ray's 36 years old today. Michael Bolton, 62.
Oh, ow.
Ow. You all right?
I am.
What?
What
okay?
happened?
What just happened?
I'm fine.
Who's 62?
What? You can't do that. You can't just say, just have that happen and they go, oh, never mind.
I fell over. I just fell over.
What do you mean you fell over?
I don't know.
What's
I'm
going
hungry.
On, Brian Wilson?
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten. I just fell over.
You work out of your house.
I know.
You can eat whatever you want that's in your fridge.
But I still work in my body, though. We've been busy today. We have a busy, active show today. I haven't had a chance to eat.
But you're not, like, walking downstairs. You're just standing there.
He's not standing.
He's sitting.
I've got super low blood sugar, and if I go too long without eating, I fall, and I literally just fell forward into the microphone. I'm sorry.
That's the best thing
you're not that funny, Allie.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. Boy, the wheel's coming off.
I faint a lot, you guys.
What? Well, that's not even lying down. No one faints sitting down.
I'm sorry. It just happened.
Listen to me. Are you still going to respond to this? No one faints sitting down. Like, you were trying to get up quickly.
No. I was just sitting. All of a sudden, just fell forward.
Are you still the healthiest man alive?
Yes. I am absolutely the healthiest man alive.
Wow.
Come on. Let me play the clip. We're not going to get to play it again
Michael
for another
Michael Bolton
year.
Is 62.
I love his music. I do. I'm a Michael Bolton fan. For my money, I don't know if it gets any better than when he sings When a Man Loves a Woman.
There you go. There it is. Was it worth it?
Every bit of it. Fun singer Nate Roos is 33 years old. Teresa Palmer is 29.
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Teresa Palmer, the actress, is 29. And speaking of stroke victims, Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys.
Yes.
Legendary singer-songwriter, a musical icon. They're making a movie about his life. They just released the trailer today. If you missed it, you should go online and check it out. It looks like a great film. Whether you're a Beach Boy fan or not, this guy's life has been fascinating. You got Paul Dano playing young Brian Wilson in the 60s with the Beach Boys. Then John Cusack as the grown-up, sort of struggling Brian Wilson. Paul Giamatti as his longtime sort of spiritual guide, Eugene Landy. Fascinating story. Here's a little taste of the trailer.
His music defined a generation.
I like surfing. I'm a fan of sand and it's good.
His genius made him a legend.
I like to play the triangle. It goes ding.
But where the legend stops, the story begins.
Hey, I'm really hungry. Could somebody buy me a Baskin and Robbins store?
Love and Mercy, the story of Brian Wilson.
Why is Elvis living inside that oak tree and telling me to cut my toenails?
That's a good question, Brian.
That is a good question.
I can't wait for the bean story.
Sitting down was a challenge. The man who couldn't sit. Eddie Redmayne is...
I just fell into the mic.
Guys, I've never investigated what you're supposed to do with blood sugar. Am I supposed to be eating like candy in the morning or something to keep it up? Yeah, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
What you're doing is working.
just stay on target.
Just stick with that. I think it's good.
I just know it's Thursday and I need to get to Denny's and I need to get to Denny's
I like
now.
The direction things are going.
All right, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin Abicho and Jack McBrayer in the studio talking Triumph. We have Robert Kirkman in the studio talking The Walking Dead. Very excited about that. Will Forte will be here talking about Last Man on Earth. And we have the movie beat also tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin Abicho.